Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. It's day 10 of Winter Olympic competition. Team USA's third in overall medal count with 14 and third in gold medals with 4. Italy's got the most medals with 17. Norway leads in gold with 8. USA men's hockey got off to a hot start yesterday with a 5-1 win over Latvia in their Group C opener. Zach Werenski had an assist in yesterday's win. USA plays Denmark tomorrow at 3:10. The U.S. women's hockey team has Italy today at 3:10 in the Olympic quarterfinals. We're at the midpoint of the NBA season. Tonight begins All-Star Weekend in Los Angeles. Donovan Mitchell will represent Cleveland in Sunday's All-Star Tournament for Team USA Stripes, for whatever that's worth. In college hoops, Ohio State heads to Nashville to battle number 15 Virginia tomorrow night at 8. On the court tonight, number 23 Miami of Ohio goes for 25-0, hosting Ohio U at 9. This update, sponsored by Germain Toyota. For unbeatable service and sales, visit Germain Toyota on the corner of I-70 and Bryce Road or online at germaintoyota.net.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Well, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
You know you've really been in it when you're taking out the garbage and the recycling on a Friday morning, and it's 20 degrees and sunny, and you go, this is pretty nice. Relative to what we've been dealing with, pretty nice will be the standard for today's program. Bo has decided to seek warmer temperatures and a warmer climate out in California. Eric Reeser, Ryan Baker rolling with you until noon. We went across the hall. We reached across the aisle and grabbed a fan favorite and the general, Bobby Carpenter, joining us for the next 3 hours. How are you, bud?
I'm doing great. I love that Bo, who complains about travel
more than
anyone I know, and believe me, I'm with him there. Like it's tough.
It's the worst.
Is choosing to trek for just an extended weekend all the way out to California, because that's not an easy trip, like physically to do.
Is there a direct flight to Los Angeles?
There, I'm trying to think. I fly a lot of American. There used to be a direct LAX from here, but he goes to Palm Springs.
Okay.
Which my wife and I, we went out there a couple years ago for her friend's 40th birthday party, and we did that flight. And I'm trying to think. I think we connected in Phoenix one time. Maybe on the way back, we went through Chicago. But it was the debate of, like, do you fly into Palm Springs directly? Do you fly into LAX? Or do you fly into John Wayne? And, like, the other two, it's like planes, trains, and automobiles. Uh-huh. Trying to figure out, like, okay, well, would it be faster to do this? You've got LA traffic coming out. So it's like, hey, it's only 80 miles, but why on the ways does it say it takes 3.5 hours? Like, that doesn't sound like it's a very good idea. So just trying to balance all of that, like, oh, but I don't have I have a tight connection here, or this or that. So there's all those different things that you obviously are trying to work through. But for him to do it, and I have 4 kids.
Right.
And so when we do spring break, and I try to explain to my wife, I'm like, if something happens to us, I start taking longer connections.
Yeah.
Like, all right. We've got an American Airlines lounge pass. The people love it when I bring my 4 kids in there. All the folks with business travel, they're really all about it. You know, like kids are running around. You
know, what they get the extra pass to into the lounge for.
Breaking all the rules at the buffet. Like, please just re-dip in, pulling everything out. I'm like, yep, don't worry about it. It's all good. And they really love that. I'm like, all right, we pay for it. We're going to do this. And I'm like, we're just sitting here. And by the way, it's free cocktails. So. Mm-hmm. Not all that bad for the big guy, but I'm like rebooking 6 people like around a busy travel weekend. They look at you like, all right, buddy, you got zero chance. Who pick your favorites of who wants to go back, and then we'll
Who gets to go first?
Yeah, we're sending
and then
waves.
You follow up right with the second flight, which will be 24 hours later
if you're lucky.
I never perspective's a hell of a drug, right? Because when I hear Bo and talk about his travel stories, I don't ever put myself in the position. I try to put myself in that position, but I always, you know, miss because I don't have three kids. I don't have a kid. So I have no idea what that kind of experience is like.
You don't have anyone else dependent upon your life to provide for them.
And even with that, I always have the conversation with them. What do you do for a layover? Because I go 90 minutes, or at least try to find the flight that's got the 90-minute layover.
Yeah.
So at least I'm not sprinting in any airport. That's to get to my connecting flight.
90 minutes is a safe window. I would say at least 60. Some of it depends on the airport. And I've flown enough now that I have a pretty good idea of where. And like Bo, I mean, I've gotten to the point now where when you travel so much, and I used to travel, I mean, I was working ESPN.
Yeah.
I was flying.
You were all over the place.
Oh, gosh. I flew like 160
How often were you in New York?
Every week. Okay. And I'd fly back and then go to Connecticut. And I would do that multiple times throughout the week. And New York was direct. Connecticut was always a connection.
Right.
So I'd either connect through Reagan, through Charlotte, or through O'Hare. And it just depended when I wanted to leave, how long I wanted to stay, what type of flights. There was a lot of variables that went into it. But, I mean, there was a time in Charlotte, when I was coming back from ESPN, it was like the last flight of the day. And maybe it wasn't the last one. I'm trying to think of what. There was another one. Sometimes there was a later one. I take the early one. But it was the difference of me either like sitting down and seeing my kids before they went to bed, or me pulling in at like 11 o'clock and everybody's asleep. And I made it my watch. It was like, are you running? And are you exercising? I was running.
Doing a workout?
And I would always carry bags on. I never checked because I was not about to lose anything. And I ran. It was 0.8 miles in about 7 minutes with a bag.
Good two pace.
Bags. Oh, it was very. I was
with 43-pound bags, just under the number.
Suit bag over the shoulder, running, sprinting. Like, I mean, you guys are probably a little young, Bake. You might get the O.J. Simpson running through, you know, the airport. Hurts number one club goal.
Absolutely. I mean, jumping over suitcases.
Yeah, I'm knocking people over at that point. Like, I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry, people in the wheelchair. Like, I love all of you, but I love my family more. And if I miss this, it's going to either be me staying overnight, or I'm staying like 3 more hours and don't get to see my kids. So I've done that. An hour is about the minimum. When I was coming back from my military tour, we had to take a prop in from the Bahamas, from Andros Island to West Palm. And they want to give you plenty of space.
Sure.
The military flights don't always go off as they should. Like, they're kind of when it's full, and if there's somebody really important, they're waiting on
them. Oh,
yeah. So flying in, so like they don't want to put something too close to it. And I was going to fly to West Palm. I had to connect through Charlotte. And I'm starting to look. I was like, I have a 50-minute connection. I'm like, if there's like one little thing that happens, that 50 minutes gets chewed into like 30 to 25.
It's now a whole day.
And then it's a bad deal. So I was like, you know what? Instead of flying out of West Palm, I talked to him, I go, I'm just going to, because I had a lot of time on my flight. I'm like, I'm just going to rent a car. I'm $50. Like, can you just book me out of Miami?
Yeah.
There's a direct out of Miami at like 7:30. And I know when I take off, outside of something severe happening, we will be landing in Columbus. Don't have to worry about anything else. So I drove down there. I rented a car, $50, drove down. And I sat down there in the American Lounge for like 7 hours. It was a long time. I started to grow roots. But, you know, it's like, hey, I wasn't feeling all that well. I had limitless tea, drank a lot of soup, didn't get any libations, sent a lot of emails.
You didn't have a single drink?
I didn't have a single
Seven
drink.
7 hours?
And believe me.
Better man than me,
when
Bob.
When I made that decision to do that, I'd also been hanging out with these sailors for the last couple of days.
Okay.
I needed your rest, your hydration to rebound
to see your family.
I was doing the show the next day, and I was getting in about 11. So I didn't want to like land fully loaded. Like
pushing it.
Yeah, wake up with a hangover at 11 when I got there, and then have to drive back and do all that. So, yeah, it was good. But I just can't believe the bow. I'm like, gosh, that's not a whole lot of time. When the travel itself to the destination is about 30% of what the destination time will be, I don't know if that's all that worth it unless there's something really special out there.
He'll be back Wednesday.
Yeah, he'll be back Wednesday.
Oh, so he's okay. Multiple days.
But that's what I was shocked. Like, he said, I'm going
to
be
out. So we don't go to school anymore, apparently, in the Bishop household.
They don't go to school anyway, Bob. So what's it matter? It's 20 degrees outside. Let's close school.
Yeah. I remember President's Day.
Heat wave.
I remember President's Vacation where you got off Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So good for him.
Yeah, but I was like, so you're going to California and you're sure you're only off Monday, like Friday, Monday, Tuesday? I had to like double check when I was trying to make sure we were getting this scheduled right, because it sure seemed like an awful long trip for just a few days. But good for them.
Hopefully the Bishop family gets proper service to there and then from, and everything's A-OK for that vacation. We're hoping to give you some good service on today's program. We are going to be joined at 10:30 by Travis Steele. He's the head coach of the Miami Redhawks. They are 24-0, looking to go 20.
I heard you kind of talking yesterday. I mean, this is going to be a tough one for you over here.
So this will be an emotional one, because look, I've always said that I think the
my
Mac
brother
is,
went to OU too. So this is,
well, your dad's deal in the Miami Athletics Hall of Fame.
Believe me, there's it's,
so the yeah. Carpenter family, I think, is gonna, this is gonna be fun, right? Because you rarely get a team from the Mid-American Conference that's playing this well on a national level. And the conversation, you know, around college basketball right now is as good as it's ever been. Like the actual action on the court, and then the drama with what to do with this Miami team that might have to go 31-0 to make the NCAA tournament, which is a wild thing to think about. If they stumble in the MAC tournament, then you're sending the MAC tournament champion, right? Not since 1999 has the Mid-American Conference sent two teams to the Big Dance.
It's been 27 years.
Wally Szczerbiak in Miami, I think, won the conference, but I think Kent State won the tournament championship. And so they get the auto bid, but Miami played just well enough in the regular season.
That Miami team made the Sweet 16, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're right. So
that was crazy. Like, Wally Mania took over. Like, I know you remember that too, Bob. We both would have been in high school. I believe you would have been maybe like a freshman or sophomore. I might have been a senior, but that was Wally Szczerbiak just kind of took over the country and all of that year. I remember that was awesome.
So they're hoping to reclaim some of that magic from 1999. We'll have Doug Maurice on at 11:30. And I think really the theme for Ohio State basketball this week for me has been the apathy is a killer in the NIL era. And so we'll go throughout that for the entire program. But coming up next, the NCAA, they're just like us. I'll explain. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows?
Oh, no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
God damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now.
Do you have...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A beautiful way to end the work week with mostly sunny skies and highs getting into the low 40s. We'll go partly cloudy tonight with lows in the 20s, and then for Saturday, expect a mix of sun and clouds, but even warmer as highs soar up right around 50 degrees. Rain chances develop overnight into early Sunday morning, but they are on the minimal side with most of the best chances south of I-70. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it. Sports conversation that's worthy of a toast, or at least a stiff drink. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Yes, you are. Eric Reeser, Ryan Baker, Bobby Carpenter. We'll call it Bobby and Friends for the next 2 hours and change. Rolling into a weekend that's without football for the first time in a long time, but the Olympics picked a really good time to come onto the scene. You've got Olympic hockey for the next 3 days. You had yesterday's win, Team USA 5-1 over Latvia. Bob, I don't know how dialed in to that you were, but I stepped in right almost as soon as the puck dropped, because whenever you have USA on the front of a jersey, you've got me.
What team do you play for? Got Herb Brooks out there. What was great is before that, it was a sport that I didn't even know I needed, and I kind of joked because I feel like I've seen it maybe on SNL, the two-dude luge. Did you watch any of that?
I've seen that. I saw it yesterday for the first time. Like, I didn't know that that was a thing.
Yeah, just two dudes.
It's a very intimate event.
Oh yeah.
My buddy texted us. He said, "If you had to do the two man lunge, partner? You want to be top or bottom?"
Yeah. And it's like, who would you pick? Who would your partner be? And then did you know this? They do the luge is like a medley relay where they have the single, a double, single, double, men's and women's. So it brings everybody together.
The best thing about the Peacock features, you can rewind, because I wanted to see how they would get into that setup. Because it doesn't make any sense. How do you figure that? How, way that's back, so in the way back machine, do you figure out that that's a competition you want to do?
How, I feel like something shady was going
that's
on.
That's a competition.
Like, oh, well, we got a sport here.
I just, the logistics of it all, like, how are we doing this? And then how are we thinking, okay, this will be popular? Because the bobsled, I totally get. The single man skeleton, I totally get. But the
two
man.
Why not two man skeleton? Both belly
one
down.
One guy in, why not two?
Just hop on. Like, and we used to do that sled ride when we were little. One guy would go, and then someone would run behind and jump on your back when you didn't
that's
know.
That's a good way to get injured.
100% it is.
I didn't even realize, like, that skeleton was a thing. Like,
they stopped it for, I guess, a number of years. Because
it was dangerous.
My kids like,
it's very dangerous.
My kids go, what do you mean? I'm like, they're going 80 miles an hour face first.
Yeah, head like, first with your head down. Yes. Like,
what do you mean?
And there's no, like, gentle way to stop that.
They're like looking at this. Like,
slow down or you get run off the track.
So I referenced this. My youngest daughter, she went to go ice skating when she was, or my youngest, my only daughter. She's probably like 5, 6, 7 years old. And we went to go, we went over to OSU's ice rink on a Friday night, go skating, rent some skates. And I remember we were watching maybe the Olympics or something like that. And she got there, she goes, it's so hard. And I'm like, well, yeah. I'm just like, you know, it was so easy on TV. I'm like, those people practice 15 hours a day for the last decade. So it's safe to say they're a little more skilled than you. And my kids are watching, oh, I could do that.
Yep.
I could do that. Listen, the luge right there, the skeleton, I'm telling you right now, it's a little harder. These are the best in the world, and they still crash and hit the
elite
wall.
Of the elite, and they still have issues.
Exactly. Like, oh, I could do that. Of course you could.
Like, you're watching Chloe Kim and the snowboard, and they make it look so damn
exactly.
easy. And she finished with a silver yesterday. And, I couldn't imagine being on just, you're on a flimsy board, you're getting a height like that, and really there's two ways you hit, like, gravity's going to get you, so you either land properly or you're falling, and there's no way to make that fall hurt or not hurt.
That was like Adam King's tweet the other day. He was like, how does one become an Olympic level loser? He's like, what if I'm an Olympic level loser? They never taught this in gym class. And I was just like, Adam, you're not.
What if
I was? You're not.
First of all, you have to be someone. I'll show you this video. Steel Chambers. I was doing my YouTube show with him. It was probably, when did you, you're too old.
For when like Steel was playing?
Yes.
Yes.
So there was a big snowstorm here, and my kids are doing this last couple weeks ago with a friend, which it's illegal. So I don't recommend this to anybody at home.
No, wouldn't condone it.
But Steele, they may or may not have, and Steele's from Georgia. They had Bryson Shaw, and they've been going back and forth, which is awesome. If you've seen some of that in action. They had Tommy and Cade, and he's like, oh, yeah, dude, they shut down campus. And he was telling me this story about how they got a trash can lid and then were getting pulled behind Bryson's car. I'm like, did you
super
have,
illegal, but
of course. I'm like, you had a trash can lid because you're college kids, so yes. It's not like you have a garage of sleds. I'm like, what did you have the rope? He goes, yeah, we don't have any rope. We went over to the sorority houses and ripped down all their banners. I go, do you mean the sheets? He's like,
bed sheets.
Yeah, we tied them together. I got video. I'll show
that's
you guys amazing. The video.
That's incredible.
They're driving around campus. Dude, they went out on the like fourth and third, though. It wasn't just the side streets. I'm like, dude, there's a light right there. You're now on a 3-lane, 1-way road. By the way, there's number one could be police officers. Number
yes.
two, there's parked cars. There's telephone poles.
There's everybody within the sound of your voice has seen Ohio State's campus after a big snowstorm. No. It doesn't get plowed for days, and it's a mess everywhere.
It's like you could have slid. Oh, you're on a trash. It's like there's treads on it.
No.
It's like you're on a trash can lid.
That's
it's
incredible.
Amazing you didn't run into a back of a car. He's like, yeah, Tommy had to bail off one time.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Yeah, imagine that.
That's like playing street football when you're a kid and somebody throws the pass too wide and you run into a mailbox, except it's the back of a Bronco.
This isn't quite at that level, but Ohio University has Jeff Hill, one of the the steeper inclines and declines.
Yeah.
And so you'd go into Jeff Hall, you'd take a lunch tray, and that would be your sled down those hills. not nearly on the same level as the side streets in Columbus.
You can get it's not the speed, it's the sudden stop.
You can,
as long as you can find a clear path, you're good. That's what I told him. So, Adam King, if you think you're an elite level loser,
there are ways to try.
You got to have some iron. First of all, do you like roller coasters?
You'd be fearless.
If you don't like roller coasters, you're off. Second of all, we're going to tie you up to the back of the truck and drive you around and see if the thought of you running into something at a high speed scares you enough. Because if that's a second eliminator, then we can work from there.
I'm sure you and Steele have touched on the myriad of eligibility lawsuits and eligibility issues, we'll call them, that the NCAA had to deal with over the last couple of weeks. And when I had said the NCAA is just like us, we've all had that week of work where something goes really well for us on Monday and then it all goes to hell in the weekend and it all goes to hell at the end of the week. And we're just like, just get me to the weekend. That's probably what the NCAA is saying right now. Now, their lawyers who keep cashing those hourly checks are making great money for this. Monday, you had a judge in Alabama, Tuscaloosa County judge, rule in favor for the NCAA in the Charles Bediako case because I think, Bob, that case had to go the way of the NCAA to restore some semblance of sanity to all this because he took paychecks from the NBA.
He left and went. And so I go, what's to stop Quinn Ewers next year from like, hey, you know what, Miami, the Darian Mensah thing didn't go through.
Yep.
You got a year left. The Dolphins, you're probably making your sixth round pick.
Money's not great.
Probably making $1 million. But here at Miami, we'll pay you.
Mm-hmm.
University of Miami, we'll pay you $8 million. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to pause that NFL contract. I'm going to slide on back here and play. What? I mean, honestly, why would that not have been possible under what we were doing? So that was a team that had been beaten down, had been destroyed, and like rose like a phoenix from the ashes. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was literally Kobe Bryant scoring, you know, what did he score, 60 on his way out the door?
Final game.
Like, that was the Bruce Baker. Charlie Baker was like, yes!
He got it.
We won!
That's his moment. And what you think with this, and Paul Feinbaum had the great phrase of judge shopping, because that's what these guys are doing, right? You're trying to find, like in this case, a judge in Tuscaloosa, like Joey Aguilar is trying to do. He's finding a judge in Knox County, Tennessee.
Go to the school that we're talking about here.
Yes. Are you an alum?
Perfect.
Great. You're going to hear this case. Last night, a judge in Mississippi granted an injunction to Ole Miss quarterback Trinidad Chambliss against the NCAA. So Trinidad can suit up for the Rebs in 2026. Now, the NCAA can't appeal his decision, but according to those who were in court for last night's proceedings, the NCAA didn't even stick around their lawyers to hear the ruling. The judge,
have you heard the ruling?
I've read parts of it from the judge.
You haven't listened to it?
No. If there's audio available, I'd love to be able to get it.
I can say, imagine what a Mississippi judge sounds like. That's what he sounds
Louisiana governor.
Yes, he sounds exactly as you. I felt like I was in To Kill a Mockingbird. Like, that's what the guy. I'm like, what are we trying here? What is going on? He sounded, Bake, if you can pull it up, you can find it online.
We'll take a look.
It's the guy sounds exactly as you would expect.
And
him
so
to sound.
Guys covering the court proceedings yesterday in Mississippi, I guess Chambliss signed footballs for the judge in the courtroom, like during these proceedings. It's interesting, you know, Lane Kiffin's first SEC game is at Ole Miss September 19th, where Chambliss will be starting at quarterback against the Tigers.
Does the judge lead him out of the tunnel?
He might.
Is he in his robe and everything?
Look, if you can't donate to your school's NIL, this is the next best thing. Provide your team the starting quarterback. Now, Tennessee, a judge in Knox County has the opportunity to do that today. That's when Joey Aguilar's case is going to be heard before a judge, yes, in Knox County, Tennessee. To decide if his JUCO years will count against the NCAA's five-year clock.
I know we're up against it, but is it any surprise to you the region of the country of which this has transpired?
No, this checks perfectly. this is the case today for Joey Aguilar in Knox County with a judge who's a University of Tennessee alum.
Of course he is.
Sets the precedent for Diego Pavia, who's got his case. I believe it's in Tennessee, but I don't know if the judge is a Vanderbilt alum, which would only the more perfect thing. Aguilar's got a couple more people in with his case than Joey Aguilar, because Aguilar was with Pavia, then separated, went judge shopping, found a judge to rule in his favor, and now you've got this. So the NCAA on Monday went through, we've got a decision in our favor, to Thursday, Friday, maybe into Saturday of, well, at least we got a win.
We got one.
One win. And again, the lawyers for the NCAA are going to keep cashing those hourly, the billable hours. Mm. might be the best thing for these guys because this won't stop. And I'm glad they ruled against Charles Bediako because that had to be something. But with JUCO and the eligibility issues that arise there, I was saying, Bob, and I'll ask you now, and then we'll take it to break. Should the NCAA just have a cap, and should the coaches not be forced to sign anything, but should the coaches be asked to sign something saying, here's who we're going to get into business with in regards to players on our roster. Here's who we will not get into business with. You'll answer that in 2 minutes. It's Bishop and Friends on the Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
All right, here's what's up on a Friday. Eric Reeser, Ryan Baker, Bobby Carpenter filling in for Bo today. The judge in this case got his law degree from Ole Miss, and he looks and sounds exactly how you would expect a judge in Mississippi to sound.
So Trinidad Chambers has granted his request for preliminary injunction relief and preliminary injunctions to NCAA from prohibiting Trinidad Chambers from practicing, playing, otherwise participating on the University of Mississippi High Collegiate Football Team during the 2026-27 academic year.
Now, the only thing better than that would have if he just threw out a hot toddy.
Hot toddy. Go Rams. And it goes on like he keeps saying, unduly penalized.
I guess he went for 45 minutes on this.
I listened to about, I'm like, this is insane. Like, you can justify it any way you want. I mean, go for it. Listen, here's the thing. I tried to cloud my judgment of this. I think Trinidad Chambliss is a really good player.
Yes.
I really like him as a player. He seems like a great guy. My brother lives up in Grand Rapids. He goes, I'd watched him play when he was in high school. Like, I'd saw highlights of him at Ferris State. It's like Western Michigan, like the region, they don't have like great high school football. They have great players, but it's not really all that well coached and developed. So that's how a kid like him ends up at Ferris State and then gets down there and like, okay, you coach him up a little bit, put him in a better system, and things start to work a little better. And so do I selfishly want to see Trinidad Chambliss play against Lane Kiffin next year? Yes.
Yes.
100%. Do I think we should be having guys in their sixth year routinely playing college football anymore? I say no with that. And the solution that I have, I don't know if you and Bo probably have talked about this at some point, is that they're moving the red shirt from 4 games anytime to 9.
Yeah.
I'm like, why stop it? Why are we stopping at 9? I mean, literally, we're all the way there. That's like, we're getting a little bit pregnant at this point. There's only 12 games in this stinking season, and you can play in the postseason.
Right.
So, think of if Indiana's 16 games, you're telling me that they couldn't have played in 3 of them? Kids could have played in 13 if under that rule? So, listen, I don't want to hear about exemptions anymore. I don't want to hear about, hey, you know what? You got a hangnail, so you missed a couple of games here, or you had really bad tonsillitis, which was what part of his reason.
Chambliss's argument was
tonsillitis.
Medically foggy.
Yes. You know, who cares? I don't care if you had to go, you got the clap and you had to go to the student center and miss the game because of that. Maybe your mother passed away. Maybe you had some real stuff. All of those things, viable or not, you get 5 years to play 5 years, and then it's all done, man.
Yeah.
Like, that way it just eliminates. Nobody can come before the exemptions committee anymore. It's cut and dry. This is what it is. I'm sure you've got your grievance. Everybody does. And it might be real, but we gave you 5 years to play 5 years. We're a nation of laws, a society of law. There has to be some sort of rules.
But you don't understand, Bob. That's just so unfair to me. It's so unfair.
You're 27 years old, Baker. You can't play anymore. I mean, just like,
I just don't get it either. It's weird. And it sounds like in a lot of this, Bob, that Ferris State messed some stuff up on their end.
And they
told Chambliss that they were going to file for this red shirt, and maybe they didn't. And some of the most damning evidence in this might have been the national championship game where Ferris State beat Valdosta State. They literally on the broadcast say he had a medical red shirt in 22. So they were led to believe by Ferris State that he had gotten a medical red shirt. So it sounds like a lot of this Ferris State kind of dropped the ball. I just don't know. Like you said, yeah, there's got to be a point where, okay, enough is enough. Like, yeah, This dude still played 4 years of college football, regardless of any injury. He played 4 years.
Yeah.
And when you mentioned the now nine games for your red shirt, I mean, that's coming from the college coaches.
Yeah.
So I think that's where all of these solutions need to come from.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be the NCAA. It's not going to be the College Sports Commission. And it damn sure won't be the United States government. The college coaches need to get together. And I don't, I'm thinking about this, because you can't tell them, hey, you need to sign this paper. But if they could get together and say, here's who we're going to have on our roster. Here's who we're not going to have on our roster. And that's players that have exceeded the 5-year eligibility cap. It is unfair if someone has a legitimate reason why they missed a year or 2 years of college football. But you have to set the 5-year limit. I completely agree with. You have the coaches sign their names to a piece of paper saying it's only 5 for 5. If a coach gets out of line, he's banned from postseason play, or any games that they played with a player it deemed ineligible, they vacate those games. Like, the coaches have to start doing this if you want to make any kind of actual change in the sport. And that goes not just for eligibility.
It goes for everything.
Everything. It has to start and end really with the coaches.
The NCAA was created as a governing body that the group, Division 1, 2, 3, they all agreed to rules. Now, the problem is the striations have become so significant between the different divisions, and even really within Division 1,
yeah,
a little bit as well. And so the people that are going to adhere to the rules agree to the rules, and then agree to what the punishments are and what you're going to do. And everybody gets on board with that, and then it should be good. Because, hey, you signed up for it. You said this is how we want to operate as a society. We voted on this. You may not like it. Because you know what? Just like I said, I love Trinidad Chambliss. I like watching
great
him play.
Players. So much fun to watch.
But at some point, like, I can't. That's what judges are supposed to be. Justice is supposed to be blind. Like, I'm not supposed to look at it and say, I like you, so this is why I'm going to give you this exemption or exception versus somebody else. And that's what's tough in this situation. But the coaches, like you said, need to sit down, figure it out. This is the rules that we want to play by. You know, you get caught tampering, you're texting our guys, yeah, or whatever, like, boom. This happens to you. This is the consequences. And by the way, a lot of this stuff is digital. It's not all back room doors anymore. No. Like, you're literally texting a guy. They can screenshot it.
You've got the evidence so much easier to produce now than ever before. And it goes to something that Bo and I have talked about a lot with, and Baker as well, that, you know, I really appreciate Ross Bjork and what he's trying to do with Ohio State and do it walking like he talks it. You know, and trying to, hey, let's have these rules. Let's have these guardrails. Let's have this cap. Let's all play by the same set of rules. So it makes it better for everybody from a competitive standpoint, from a calendar standpoint, just from a lifestyle standpoint, because these coaches now have so much more to do that, you know, I think back to Montana's head coach, Bobby Houck, just woke up one day and said, I'm really tired of this, and just retires.
People just want clarity.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of it, like, what are the rules? And I've talked to Ryan about this. Like, just tell us what they are.
Yep.
And the one thing people get upset about at Ohio State is, well, nobody else is really paying it, you know, listening to them. It's like, all right, Ohio State's going to be aggressive. And Ross has talked about that.
Yep.
Ryan's talked about it. But also at Ohio State, here's the thing. You can't try to highbrow people and say you do things the right way and then do things intentionally and, like, be on the edge of it. And then all of a sudden, like, well, you know, because that's where the arrogance people say comes in. And so Ohio State's always, as a university, some of it is your president too and your board of trustees, they want to always be on the right side of that. And they don't ever want to be like, well, you were doing it just like everybody else. And so, yeah, you'll be aggressive and you're going to try to do things, but also, like, you're going to be aggressive within the confines of being able to defend at least your position and not just saying, well, everybody's doing it, so it's okay. Because that comes down now to, go back to Major League Baseball in the 90s with the steroids. I'm like, listen, if you didn't want to do steroids and you thought it was wrong, then you should have stepped up and said, let's test everybody. If not, you're just going to tacitly go along with it and be a part of the problem. So be a part of the solution. That's why I appreciate Dabo Swinney standing up and doing what he did.
Yeah.
And he's probably
putting
the only...
names on it.
People are like, why doesn't everybody do that? I go, well, if you go look at who is... done it. I mean, there's no loyalty among thieves. Dabo is the only guy that didn't take any transfers. So I'm guessing he probably didn't tamper with anybody, because anybody else that would have got to that podium, like Lane Kiffin, couldn't walk up there and say that. And none of these other guys could, because the next thing you know, it's going to be the phones will be buzzing with screenshots from their guys.
It's interesting you mentioned Dabo, because I was thinking of that situation when you talked about everything being digital. And we know it's there because the player's agent said, well, for the right price, we'll give you the text messages, but we're going to keep them unless you hit our number. And then, Reese, you mentioned Bobby Houck retired for, what, 3 days before he became Illinois' defensive coordinator?
Yeah.
And moved on there. And the whole Nate Oates defense, right? Well, everybody else is doing it. There should be rules, but until there are, I'm just going to keep doing it. Like, get out of here, dude.
The audio of Nate Oates saying, how am I supposed to look at him and look at our team when he's allowed to play and said he's not allowed to participate for choosing academics? I, like, threw up in my mouth. I'm like, he chose to leave.
Yeah.
And then he chose to say, hey, we'll get you. Oh, you didn't like playing in front of 500 people in a high school gym for 90 grand? We'll pay you four times that, and you get to play here in Alabama in front of a packed house again.
Nate Oates is... The book they write about the Nate Oates tenure at Alabama is going to be like the 30 for 30 you see on that is going to be a fascinating one. But I also loved how it was Bruce Pearl, one of the more prominent figures to come out in against that. It's like, yes, known rule follower Bruce Pearl has a problem with this. Like, it goes to your point of there are coaches who can, if they can speak out against it, know for a fact you've got nothing on me. And most other coaches around the country, they don't like it, but they're not going to speak out about it because it's a rule they're also not following. And that's where it keeps coming back to the coaches have to do this. If they're serious about the change, it can't just be kicking the can down the road or pointing the finger at anybody else, because those are your leaders. And the leaders have to lead. And somebody's got to figure this out to where you can't be relying on three bodies of government that don't want to do anything in the NCAA and the CSC and the actual federal government. Because Paul also talked about he's going to Congress in a couple weeks to do another discussion on the state of college athletics. I'll tell you what, Coach, it's not going great, and the government's not riding in to save
this. They're not going to save it. I will say this. This was in our winner's manual at Tress. I went to look it up. I believe it's Joseph Ranseth. Just tell the coach, just be the change you wish to see. All right? If you want this, be that person. But don't complain that everybody else is doing it, and then do it as well.
Ohio State's going to have its spring game on April 18th. I'm really hoping someone sticks around and calls plays during that spring game. We'll discuss next. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
Wake up with The Fan. Eat lunch with The Fan. Go to bed with The Fan. Dream about The Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
The Fan.
Matty Ice here if you're looking.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. All your favorite and least favorite fan shows are available wherever you get your podcasts. Just type in 971 The Fan to the search bar and hit that subscribe button. It's free.
We're the land of the free and the home of the sunburnt freckled fat guy.
Do it now.
Come into your
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Hotline is sponsored by Accurate Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
It's an actual Friday. Bo's headed out to California. Here's thoughts and prayers thrown up that he makes it out there without any real airline interruptions. Baker with me as well. Bobby Carpenter in for the next 2 hours and change. We'll have Travis Steele on at 10:30. He's the head coach of the 24-0 Miami Redhawks. They've got the Battle of the Bricks tonight at 9 o'clock. And that game was moved to ESPN2 because, or from ESPN2 to Big Boy ESPN, because I think they realized the gravity of the situation, Bob, and where you have a Miami team the last time they were this relevant nationally. They made the Sweet 16. And those are the best stories for March Madness, is where you have, I'll call them plucky Miami, because they're in Oxford, Ohio. They play in front of now 10,000 people. And Millett Hall gets sold out every single game this season. It will be a sellout tonight. Like, the get-in price is like 105. Is it, what's it, what is it?
Millett.
Okay,
it's
thank you.
You can be an OU guy. You can call him Millett.
When we have Travis on, I won't want to say that incorrectly.
Over there in Millett Hall.
Y'all over Millett Hall playing that big old Bricks game tonight. They, in my opinion, the MAC should always have more than one bid in the NCAA tournament because it's a mid-major. Yeah. It's only going to get the conference tournament champion. So Miami, I don't think they have a whole lot of wiggle room. Like, it was interesting. CBS Sports yesterday, as everybody does their bracketology. And Miami, if they have a loss, is out.
I don't understand.
Which would be nuts.
I mean, they play so many games in college basketball that for you to go undefeated and be that good, I can't imagine a scenario. I don't have to look at their non-conference and see who they play, but I mean, I can't imagine a scenario where they would justify leaving them out.
All right, so it's Mallette.
Mallette.
Okay, I can't call it Mallet. I can't call it Millet.
No. Mallette. My dad's got a picture in
there. He's got a plaque up in that. Yeah.
Whatever.
Miami University Hall of Fame.
Yeah. So it's interesting. My brothers, they offered me, but they didn't offer my other three brothers, and they went to Cincinnati and OU, one with the Marshall. But like Cincinnati and OU were kind of their rivals, and they had really good records against Miami. So they were able to enact their revenge, if you will.
About an hour north of Mallette is Dayton, yep. University of Dayton, where I learned yesterday that John Gruden played football.
Yeah.
Which is always cool because just the Ohio really is the cradle of the sport.
It is.
And Gruden, I think right now is kind of like in his apex where he's John Gruden, zany football personality.
He's like John Madden at the end.
It's tremendous. He does tremendous content. You put him on the air and he'll just start shouting football. And we love that. We love consuming that kind of content. Well, he's going to be in Columbus the day of Ohio State spring game on April 18th, a couple of days before. Ohio State unveiled their roster for the coaches clinic from the 16th to the 18th in April. Ryan Day is going to be the headliner, obviously, the head coach. Matt Patricia, new offensive coordinator Arthur Smith, and then John Gruden, the four of them on the same poster.
It's pretty impressive. Three guys that have all coached NFL head coaches.
Ohio State released that yesterday, and it led me to think that, well, if Matt Patricia is going to be in Columbus during the day of the spring game, it's a good chance he'll be coordinating Ohio State's defense next season, which is great news. If you're connecting that kind of red yarn to a corkboard,
I think that's real. We talked to Albert Reed this morning on the Juice, and I was asking him the one spot that I was worried. It's like with Vegas,
sure.
Just Tom Brady having ownership stake in their relationship is that he might be in play for that. I mean, there's certain places I think that Matt, at this point in his career, is probably looking at saying, I'm not too interested in coaching in that organization or that franchise. Vegas was, hey, when you have Tom as the guy, you have that relationship. They have brought in an offensive head coach, which is also part of the math in that. Like, okay, you'll be the head coach basically of the defense. So, yes, I was a little worried. Albert kind of assured me that he didn't feel like Matt was in play for that one at this point. But it kind of depended on who the head coach was going to be and how that was going to shake out. So I feel a lot better about that. And I know a lot of Buckeye fans should as well because of just he's an NFL coach, coaching in college, but he's a great communicator. And you saw the fruits of it last year. And it's going to be a tall task this year with revamping that defense, but this is where you're going to see his creativity because I think this defense will look, I don't know if it'll be as good as last year because
I don't know how you can. Yeah.
But I think it will be really good. It'll look different though. And it's just different based upon the personnel that you have now.
The one thing I really I mean, there's so many different things to love about what Matt Patricia did last season, but that he was on the field with as much energy as his players. Yeah. Like that to me looked so cool. Just considering like what I had seen from Matt Patricia in, you know, the recent jobs he'd had with the NFL, he just didn't look like he was having any fun. And I get that things weren't going very well. You come to Columbus, you get rejuvenated. And I think Bob, best case scenario for this is Patricia spends maybe another season or two in Columbus and then probably goes back to the NFL.
I'd be happy with a couple more than just one or two.
I think that's what everybody should want for a healthy program when you have assistants like this that have been in the NFL that you think to yourself, like when Arthur Smith comes on as offensive coordinator, you think great hire, coordinated in the NFL is going to be great here. 1, 2, 3 seasons, and then he's probably back in the National Football League. And that's healthiest for everybody, right?
You know, it's interesting, though, is that if you're compensated well, like there's an old saying
there's that
of don't out happy happy.
Yeah.
Like you don't need to mess with something when it's going well. And I think those guys, number one, Ryan's a pretty good guy to work for. Columbus is a nice place to live. It compensated pretty well. And if you're Matt and Arthur Smith, like you're given the opportunity to kind of do what you need to do. You're given the resources to do it. And you don't have to deal with any of the other nonsense.
Like both
those guys have been head coaches. Ryan's got to deal. Like Ryan has to do so much more than what he actually not so much more than he wants to do. He gets to do very little of what he probably enjoys to do, which is like coach quarterbacks, call play. He's passed some of that on. He's got to run around and do meetings and raise money and do all this different stuff that a CEO head coach does. Now, give it over the offensive head, head coaching duties. Maybe he can spend a little more time in that quarterback room, you know, with Billy and some of the guys. So I think that that's good. But those guys like it. And so if you enjoy what you're doing, your family's happy. They enjoy being here. I always like check the boxes. Listen to what people say outside of it. Like, our family loves it here. And they enjoy this, enjoy that. Like, your wife sometimes like, hey, we're going to move. Why? Well, I want to go do this. Is it going to be better? Like, why do we want to do that? Like, we're doing, we have everything we need right here. You're winning. You've had success. And if you're a guy like Matt Patricia, like, I mean, unless you're leaving for an NFL head coaching job.
Yeah.
And not to say that he doesn't want to coach in the NFL at some point, because there's the rules in college need to get kind of hammered down. But at some point, man, like, you've already got a lot of rings. You know, I mean, you're not Belichick, but you got plenty as an assistant. The only thing you could really get one as a head coach, and then maybe get a national championship ring, which would be something you'd enjoy.
You think Chip Kelly would want a do-over?
Of leaving? I don't know, because $21 million spends the same, or $18 million spends the same.
I mean, the money he got from Las Vegas is, to your point, like, pretty good. Like, that sets you up anywhere.
3 year, six a year deal.
And then he gets...
I mean, as an assistant. And then they fire you with, like, four games left. God bless America.
Here's what I want to see, though, from Gruden. If he's going to be at the coaching camp, and that like, the content
Spider
there...
Spider 2Y Banana.
I want Spider 2Y Banana in the spring game. Like, I know in past years, Ohio State's set up like Woody Hayes type formations, and it's really not only the spring game a fun way to get your guys in game rep scenarios and to try to figure out who looks like what on offense, but just a fun way to celebrate football.
Yeah.
And John Gruden being ultimate football guy, ultimate Ohio guy, if he could just be the offensive coordinator for one of the two teams, or if they're doing offense versus defense again, give me Spider 2Y Banana once. Give it Gruden on a live mic to the fans at Ohio Stadium.
Reese, you already know when we saw this yesterday, I was doing the red yarn and the cork board, as you like to say. And well, when Arthur Smith's time is up,
oh,
maybe this is the lead into John Gruden as next Ohio State offensive coordinator.
Give it to me.
If he's calling plays in the spring game, I mean, we're really
here's
just
a
one
guy.
Step away.
This guy Ryan Day right here. This is my guy. Ryan Day.
It's a good job at everybody in bringing football minds together for the coaches clinic, which is always a fun time, but especially that spring game weekend. You know, yeah. You have a character like Gruden to come in, allow him to make content in your building.
Yeah.
You put eyes on your program, because look, this is the game now in college football. Everybody's got to be paying attention to me at all times, because that's how you generate the most new revenue. You're looking under couches. You're trying to look through every single cushion you can to find money to pay for every single thing. We had a discussion with Paul Feinbaum over the past couple of weeks. Actually, our discussions have got me concerned. But then I heard you and Steel Chambers talking, and I feel a little bit better about a home-and-home series that's TBD. We'll discuss that next. Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rockman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Bone.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
For the old days when football used to have an off-season, well, we at The Fan think that really sucked. That's why we bring you Austin and Berm, America's number one resource for Buckeye football conversation, is voted by Fake Surveys Incorporated. Catch their daily podcast called The Beat and their breaking news podcast, Snap Judgments, as they broadcast live from Roosters on Mondays, and they come right to your house and massage your tender areas. Ooh. They'll do it all. Austin and Berm on The Fan's YouTube channel and 10TV Plus.
This is Corey Sick.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reese. There's one unbeaten team remaining in college basketball. The Miami Redhawks are 24-0 and look to go 25-0 tonight, hosting Ohio University at 9 o'clock. Their head coach, Travis Steele, will join The Fan in about 30 minutes. As for the basketball Buckeyes, Ohio State heads to Nashville Saturday to battle number 15, Virginia. Tip-off from Bridgestone Arena is 8 p.m. You can hear that one on The Fan tomorrow with coverage at 7 o'clock. The 8th-ranked Ohio State women's squad's back at the shot Sunday, hosting number 20, Maryland. And it's day 10 of Winter Olympic competition in Milan. Team USA's second in overall medal count with 14, third in gold with 4. Italy and Norway lead with 18. USA men's hockey got off to a hot start yesterday, beating Latvia 5-1. The U.S. women's hockey team plays Italy today at 3:10 in the quarterfinals. This update is sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co., locally inspired dishes and award-winning cocktails. Visit highbankco.com to make your reservation. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
You say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Yes, you are. Eric Reeser, Ryan Baker rolling along with you on this Friday. The General, Bobby Carpenter, in with us as well as Bo Jett sets out to Palm Springs for the next couple of days. Again, thoughts and prayers for him and his family as they try to make that trek. Somebody had said, Bob, in the YouTube chat that Spirit Airlines does a direct from Columbus to LAX, but I do not see Bo Bishop flying Spirit Airlines.
Bo doesn't strike you the guy. Now, my in-laws, they flew Allegiant down to Miami. They always do a month down.
How'd it go?
They went well.
Okay.
As long as you take off, it's always good. The question is,
getting there is always the toughest part.
Half the battle.
Well, the thing is, a lot of those, they nickel and dime you the whole way. And my in-laws were going to drive all the way down. They go and spend a month. They get a house with some friends. The month of February is really the worst month in Ohio. You know, once you start getting into March, you're getting some tastes of 50 degrees. Like, I mean, it's just a little enough like a drug dealer to keep you coming back. You know,
bits and pieces. Yeah. Oh, you want some 45 and sunny, huh?
55 and sunny, bust out the sandals and shorts. Like, we're ready to go. But they looked at this. My wife found these flights and round trip. They could get there and back with a rental car. And it was like $350. And she told my, you couldn't even drive that. Their parents. So, and the thing is, they get you on the bags because the bags are like $50 and they even charge you for carry-ons unless you're a veteran. And God bless my father-in-law, Ralph. He is a veteran. So they got two free bags down there, got their car, went down, and they're down there in the Keys right now. But I mean, I've flown Spirit and Allegiant before. I don't necessarily love it, but I don't think Bo, that would be the equivalent of like a cattle car to him. And I don't know. He won't even fly Southwest, I think.
I would almost say it's more likely the Haslams give him Haslam 1.
Yes.
And take that out to Palm Springs than actually hop on Spirit or Allegiant. But
make a wish, kid. Go up to Jimmy. You know, I need some help here.
He'll be back on Wednesday. So hopefully.
Maybe.
And he's been sick for the past 2 weeks, it feels like. So dealing with that plus travel.
Oh.
For even him and the blonde would be ambitious, but then they're bringing the three kids along. And I don't know which one of them is patient zero. One of them was.
So the patient zero is a real deal. And
Have you guys been able to avoid that at the Carpenter household?
Yeah, for the most part.
Okay.
I mean, my kids are a lot like, well, some of them, like my daughter is. Like, I don't throw up ever. You know, I mean, I'll get some stomach issues and things, but my wife, she's like, are you okay? We had that sushi. We had some sushi the other day. It was a little old. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. You know, I'm like,
okay.
I mean, I've eaten chili that's 13 days old, though, and like in the
still heats up. It's staying cool.
You heat it hot. As long as you get it hot enough, I mean, my theory is it's going to kill anything. But yeah, thankfully, we've been pretty good about that. I've got a little ear infection here that just when I was flying, wasn't doing well, and I could kind of feel it. And I still can't hear anything on my right ear. So I've got some antibiotics coming because we're going on the Buckeye Cruise next week. I don't really want to fly. I got my hyperbaric chamber to keep my brain from just turning into a pile of goo. The thing is, when it pressures up and then you pressure down, it's like going up and down in a plane, but just really fast. And I turned it. There's two valves you can pop so it drops quicker so you can get out. And my friend doesn't like to do that. He's like, it's hard on yours. Yeah, I'm good. You know, I did that the other day.
That's fine.
I started getting vertigo. I couldn't even, I had to grab the one valve and turn it so it'd slow it down because I was hurting so
bad. Do you get a salesperson from that hyperbaric chamber company to show you how to properly work that? Or do you just say, F it, I'm going to watch a YouTube video?
No, they come in and set it up and do it all for you.
Because that doesn't feel like something you could just instructions, I'm good.
There's really only a couple buttons. Okay. Like, they set it all up, and then it's like a little touch screen. It's like on, off. This is the level you want, lights, and there's a little TV in there if you want it. But yeah, so that's it. Keeps the brain freshest, Reeser.
Freshish. Been hurting my brain over the past couple of weeks to hear that Alabama might back out of their home and home series with Ohio State in 27 and in 28. They're scheduled to be in Columbus in 2027 and then their return trip to Tuscaloosa in 2028. Now this, I heard Austin Ward and Brandon Beam talking about this on the Buckeye Show a couple of weeks ago, and that really hurt my heart that Austin would say such a such an awful thing that
I think he said, I couldn't see that. I can't imagine that game being played.
I'm just blaming Austin because I'm shooting the messenger.
Of course.
And I understand. And similarly with Paul Feinbaum, it hurt my head to hear him say from people he's talked to, he wouldn't be surprised if that Alabama backed out of it.
Now,
then it made my heart. It made my heart feel good.
Flutter.
For lack of a better way to phrase it. When I heard you and Steel Chambers talking about that might not be the case.
Well, because the SEC, they've got the rule. They're going to 9 conference games. And then they also put in there, like, hey, we're going to play 1 P4 / Notre Dame game.
And that's in their, like, contract.
Yes, that's built in. Now, I mean, it's a little bit, I feel like Walter Solcheck sometimes in the Big Lebowski.
Sure.
Am I the only one who gives a damn about the rules? Like, you have to pull out a piece and
this
start.
This is the Southeastern Conference.
I mean, Greg Sankey might have to start pointing guns at people down at, like, at his different ADs. Like, follow the rules. You guys just can't just do whatever you want out here. But a friend of mine who I go on their Alabama, Tuscaloosa radio station, they like to know what's going on inside.
Of course.
Inside, you know, it's like dip behind enemy lines.
You're their Feinbaum.
I am. I am okay. Their Feinbaum. I come on. In my mind, I don't have an accent. In their mind, I have a northern accent.
Yes.
But
sound like a Yankee.
Yeah, ham it up a little bit and talk about the good and the bad and everything. And my friend Fowler was kind of, like, he's reserved to the fact, he's like, you guys have more money than we do because there's more people up there. You've got more of this. He's like, we're struggling to compete. He's like, it's not as easy as we thought. You got Indiana winning the national championship now. So he said that, but then he was the one that brought that up. He goes, so you're talking 2 years out. If they were going to stick to the rule of the scheduling, it's one thing to say, hey, we'll drop you. We'll pick up, you know, Tulane or pick up, you know, Appalachian State or pick up, you know, UAB or Southern Miss, and we'll stroke them a check for $3 million and they'll come here and we'll play them. It's another thing if you have to go like for like. Now, I don't know if Ohio State and Purdue are actually a like for like, but you could go get a Boston College or get someone like that. But that would also imply that they have that same date opening because it's only 2 years out. Like, you're not going to do a full, like, crazy 2 or 3 game move because that's going to, those other teams, they get locked in on their schedules too. So I was informed by Ohio State. They have not heard anything from their end on this. And Fowler told me he hadn't heard anything yet from Alabama. I think people are looking at this saying, it would make logical sense because we were talking in the break. Michigan, Ohio State, and Indiana. In the 3 years of which they won it, their non-conference games did not really have a noteworthy
effect. Back to back to back, they ain't played nobody.
So people look at that and say,
I'd like to do that.
I don't know if that's like causal or not, but that couldn't hurt the process.
It's not nothing.
Yes.
And that hurts my heart because I want, and you know, Steve Sarkisian said as much during the season, like, why are we playing these games if the loss counts against us and getting into the college football playoff? And I understand that from his perspective. I understand when Paul Feinbaum says, you know, Kalen DeBoer is in a situation at Alabama to where they don't have any money and he can't afford any loss. And it's almost like they wanted him to lose that college football playoff game against Oklahoma so then he could just leave and be done with him.
It's crazy.
Which I don't know why you'd ever want to, one, not make the postseason and then lose in your postseason.
It's amazing someone
just
thinks
so
that.
You can have a conversation about a coach is wild to me in any sport.
I thought it was interesting what Paul said yesterday on our show when Bo questioned him about this, and he said that the SEC and Greg Sankey are pretty upset with Tony Petitti and the fact that they thought the college football playoff was moving to 16, so they went ahead and pushed forward with the 9-game conference schedule in the 1 Power 4 game. I thought that was pretty interesting, so I wondered in that if, and Paul also said that he thought the Georgia games the 2 years after were fine. He thought the Georgia games were going to go off like they were. He just said that his sources were telling him that Alabama was not going to play those games with Ohio State. It made me wonder, like, and you mentioned Purdue, and that's for some reason the same school I thought of. But if they're going
to
try
the worst,
well, they're going to try to stick it to the Big Ten and say we're not playing Ohio State. We're going to go play Cal, or we're going to go play Arizona or something like that, just to try to stick it to the Big Ten a little bit.
And there might be a lot of truth in that with it. And also the fact that Kalen DeBoer might need some wins. And really the fact that it's kind of being glossed over, and Sankey, I understand what he's saying, because if it goes to 16, it alleviates a little bit of that. And I think Ohio State, with their schedule next year, could be the first 9-3 team that would get in should they potentially do that, just with how difficult their schedule is. But the SEC's also kind of lost some of that grace with the scheduling when the Big Ten's won the last three national titles. And so that's the other thing where they can't champion. Our 9-3 is better than yours. Is it? When you've got Texas, Michigan, USC, Oregon,
right.
Indiana, and then like Iowa and Illinois, which they'll probably be ranked in the top 25 too.
You talked, Baker, that people are mad at Tony Petitti. I'm also mad at Tony Petitti, and I'll tell you why next. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Men, it's the new year.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Resident gambling degenerates Steve Biddle and Scotty Vegas for On the Money. Sunday mornings at 9.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
The Fan.
Hello, it's...
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A beautiful way to end the work week with mostly sunny skies and highs getting into the low 40s. We'll go partly cloudy tonight with lows in the 20s, and then for Saturday, expect a mix of sun and clouds, but even warmer as highs soar up right around 50 degrees. Rain chances develop overnight into early Sunday morning, but they are on the minimal side with most of the best chances south of I-70. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
1, 2, 3. Here in The Fan is always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan. Our top men are working on everything except this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
Watching Olympic losers in the break is an incredible thing. Eric Reeser, Bobby Carpenter, Ryan Baker with you until noon today. Miami men's basketball coach Travis Steele is going to join us at 10:30. His Red Hawks look to go 25-0 hosting Ohio University tonight at Millett Hall. The lead-in on ESPN, Bob, for Battle of the Bricks is the NBA Celebrity All-Star Game.
Oh, we were playing off some of those guys in there. That's one of my favorite. We read off the list. I was like, that is...
Didn't know half of them.
Yeah, celebrity is a loose term.
Yes.
And especially I go, and my thing is like, hey, if you're trying to be like the NFL and bring in more people under your tent, bring in some folks that might get me to want to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I guess
you got Lynn Sanity in there. They've got Jason Williams, White
Jeremy
Chocolate.
Lynn?
Yeah, they've got Lynn Sanity playing. Jason Williams, White Chocolate.
All right.
He's playing.
Some of those guys like Jason Williams have found new life in the podcast space. And so I guess,
why don't you get him? This was, we talked about this morning on the Juice a little bit, but they had, who's the guy on First Things for, not for, Wright?
Nick Wright. Fox Sports One show.
For, so I don't know. Pick your name.
Right. At this point.
And they go, because they're having the American versus European, and he was asked, what would be something that would bring back, save the NBA All-Star game? And he sat there, and he's like, why don't you just make it fully racial? A white team and a black team. I said, that's unbelievable. I go, why don't you get both Jason Williams and have them play against each other? That would be tremendous. I'm like, this is, if we're going to go in, this is the Dave Chappelle racial draft.
Despite
like,
the obvious marketing issues?
No.
Are you kidding me? Dave Chappelle was ahead of his time. He did this 20 years ago.
Are we going like Jason Williams bike wreck or Jason Williams pulling gun on people? Because there was the one for the New Jersey Nets back in the day.
I would go Jason Williams bike wreck. I feel like he would be Ken. People know him. They know White Chalk. But I'm looking at this like, I don't know any of these guys in here, really. And by the way, Amon-Ra St. Brown and...
Is he part of this?
And who? Chargers receiver. Well, I guess he's with the Jags now. Longtime Chargers receiver. Really good.
Blanking. I'm blanking,
it's
too.
It's killing me.
Mike Williams?
No, small one. Not smaller guy. Not Mike Williams.
And so they're older. Like in the celebrity thing tonight?
Yes. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm going to tell you this. Assuming these guys have ever touched a basketball in their lives, they're going to be the two best athletes on the court.
Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen.
Back with the Chargers now.
Back with the Chargers, yes. But I'm like, those two guys are NFL wide receivers. I can't imagine any.
Yeah, they're not going to have an issue with any of this.
Unless they've never touched a basketball.
Which would be very hard to believe.
100%. They're going to destroy everybody. You're going to see what it looks like, as I tell people, when a highly trained athlete plays against somebody who's just an average dude.
Just crushing the average person walking onto the court. Like Drewski, I might be a part of this in some form or fashion because he feels like he's everywhere.
Yeah. I feel like Mike Hart played in it. Not Mike Hart. Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart's in, all the time. Yeah.
He's coached it.
Easily wipe him off the court with this. It was hard for me to believe when they expanded the college football playoff from four teams to what you now have 12 that it would go any further because I don't think there are four teams every year. And now that you have a little bit more parity, a lot more parity, yeah. I guess I should say, there are four teams, there are eight teams, there might not be 12 teams, and we all think this is going 16. From Pete Thamel, an internal Big Ten document is circulating that explores a 24-team college football playoff. Ooh. If we go based off of the final 2025 rankings, you've got eight first-round byes, and then, which would include Ohio State and Indiana, Oklahoma, A&M, Oregon, Ole Miss, Tech, and Georgia. And that would be fine. But the first round matchups, Bob, feel like a doozy to try to pitch to the general fan out there. USC, Arizona, Alabama, JMU, Texas, Tulane. And I don't begrudge JMU and Tulane.
It's not their fault.
They just accepted an invite to the college football playoff that every team in the group of five dreams of.
Yeah.
But they're not. That's just, that isn't it. 24 teams?
It's not
Tony Patini, what are we doing?
It's not your fault that Brooklyn Decker asked you out on a date, Reeser, and you disappointed her. I mean, I'm not going to blame
you.
It's not your fault.
It's her fault.
It's her fault for asking.
For asking and having expectations.
Having expectations that you're not Andy Roddick.
I don't understand.
Good pull out of you, by the way. Brooklyn Decker. I haven't thought about her in a while.
I watched Just Go With It the other night with my kids.
Solid.
What
they think of it.
They loved it.
Okay.
They loved it. We watched Mr. Deeds and that back-to-back. Adam Sandler double feature.
I was really wondering, how many, with James Vanderbeek news, how many are pulling out Varsity Blues over the weekend?
The thing is, the content in that, and when I told my kids, you go, not that Lancaster was West Canaan by any stretch, but there's a lot of parallels. There's a lot of parallels in there.
Small town football.
Similarities that I can see.
Mostly the outside of football.
After the football game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My dad wasn't exactly John Voight out there. AJ always pretended like he was. But everything else, some of the outside stuff. So I can't tell my kids that and then have them watch it. Be like, wait, you said this was a lot like how you grew up? Well, maybe not a lot. Well, you said a lot. Did I really?
That's when you really get to go. It's a movie, so they're going to, everything's going to be a lot, more grand and a lot more ridiculous than how things actually were. This is, to me, a ridiculous idea, 24-team college football playoff. The Tony Patini 28, 30-team college football playoffs are a ridiculous idea. And it goes to the point, like I made earlier this week, to where you can't ask for uniformity in college football when the commissioner of the conference is trying to do different things than the coaches.
Yeah.
Like his goal is to create content, inventory, and more money. And that flies in the face of what Ryan Day is trying to do. That flies in the face of what Ross Bjork's trying to do. And so how can everybody get on the same page with this when your end goals are just wildly different?
It's like when Jerry Jones said, sometimes you just need a little controversy, get some things stirred up.
Are you going to
sell your team or are you going to try to win games? what's more important? And to your point, Baker, go ahead. I'm going to listen to this.
The whole thing to me is there's not 24 teams
that
are good enough to win a national championship. I would argue that there's not 12. So
probably not.
If the whole point of this is finding the best team in college football, I don't think this is the correct way to go. Now, if your way of going here is the words that we always talk about on this show, more inventory, more content, more TV shows, which I believe is Tony Petitti's number one thing. Tony Petitti is a guy with a TV background, and he's all about getting more money and making more TV shows. Then, yeah, you can do this.
And I guess to your point, Bob, about Brooklyn Decker, it's not Tony Petitti's fault.
No.
His job is to make a ton of money.
But there's also the point in this, though, where initially you could make a lot of money, but it could also be a thing where you've got too many CVSs in one town and how are you making any money? Where eventually there's too much and people are going to get fatigued on it and not watch as much.
So is that what they said about the NFL? I'm not saying that's what they said about the NFL. And it's like, all right, I'll watch Amazon Prime game every Thursday.
You're right.
Oh, you're gonna throw some games on here, throw them on there, Black Friday,
Netflix, hell yeah, I'm in.
Oh, every Christmas day, even though you got a team playing like after 5 days on Christmas, sure, put them on there. Why
the
not?
NFL's usually competitive though.
It
some
is.
Of these games aren't gonna be competitive.
And that's the thing. And when it becomes a bad product, and like that was the first round, I was kind of disappointed. I'm like, here's my issue with this is I'm gonna watch two games that are gonna be blowouts.
Yeah.
Like, well, I want to a Friday night and a Saturday night game that I can sit there and have a drink, enjoy myself, and watch like a good football game. And I don't know, to your point, Baker, like that, if you're going to be able to get that. Now, with that being said, throughout the season, I kept looking, how many teams can win it? I did not have Indiana, and I did not have Miami in it probably week 8, 9.
Yeah.
Like, after they beat Ohio State, I was like, all right, Indiana, they're good. They can win it. And I still didn't think Miami cooks, so they were too inconsistent. But in this new era of parity, like I want to see another year of like this 12. And if we see a team or two that comes out of nowhere,
yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, maybe we just flipped it on our head. And maybe it is more NFL than ever before where you put 24 teams in. Now, maybe you're not going to get the 18 through, that's why I think 16 is probably the number.
I think so too.
I mean, like,
I hope so, but damn, I've seen 24.
I know.
You're going to just want, you want more. So you get a couple years of 12 and they go, let's do 16. You get a couple years of 16. Like, why not 18? It's just two more teams. They slow build that to create now this amalgamation that I'm looking at in front of me with 24 teams and some bad matchups.
Once they have this, you know what the next thing to fall is? It's the 96 team NCAA tournament.
Yeah, they're expanding that too. Yeah.
Is that a certainty though?
It's not a certainty, but it's more of like the 18 game NFL regular season, yeah. Where you hear the NFLPA interim guys say there's no appetite for it and be like, well, you said your predecessor said that about the 17 game season. And like, we all kind of know where this is heading.
So, but once they rip the Band-Aid off here, the NCAA will be like, oh, perfect. College football, 24, time to go to 96. Let's juice this thing up. And I don't want to see that either. I don't need any more. I've got plenty. I may sound like an old man, get off my lawn here, but
I think you're saying stuff that I think a lot of people within our listening audience can get behind. Because for Ohio State, you're never going to really have an issue of making the football, of making the playoff, win all your games, win most of the games, and you're going to be in. You're always going to be a team that can compete for a national championship. You're always going to provide a good postseason showing. Other schools, you know, making a point about the SEC, where all 16 of those programs think, hey, we could compete this year. And it's like, really, South Carolina?
Yeah. You're looking at that. South Carolina?
Really, Florida?
Mississippi State?
Really, this year? But we talked about, you know, Miami and the Hurricanes that had, a pretty tough non-conference schedule. They didn't leave the Sunshine State until like November, I think it was.
Yeah.
But didn't matter because they showed up in the college football playoff en route to a pretty solid runner-up finish because that national championship game looked like it was going to go the way of Indiana putting belt to ass, and they made it competitive. Miami did. And from one Miami to another, the hottest team in college basketball, the only team without a loss this season, the Miami Redhawks, about 2 hours southwest of here. That's where we'll go next as the head coach of Miami, Travis Steele, will join us. It's Bishop and Friends.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
About the fans contest, how to win, or what's up for grabs, check out 971thefan.com. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
The best hair on the air. You are listening to Bishop and Friends.
Yes, you are. Eric Reeser, Ryan Baker, Bobby Carpenter rolling with you on this Friday edition of the program. Tonight, Oxford, Ohio, Millett Hall, 9 p.m. on ESPN. The one team in college hoops without a loss on the season, the Miami Redhawks, and the coach of the 24-0 Miami men's basketball team is Travis Steele. He joins us right now on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Coach, thanks so much for the time this morning. Congratulations on what's been a hell of a run for your team. Was there a moment this season as you guys inch closer to 20-0 and 21-0 and then it finally became 24-0 where you realized, like, this is going to be special?
Yeah, you know, I think it's funny. I knew we were going to be really good last spring. You know, we brought a lot of guys back from a 25-win team last year, right, which set a single-season record in Miami's history for wins in a season. And just, man, our spring was incredible. Just, we lost a heartbreaker in the MAC championship game up in Cleveland to my brother, of all people. I had to do it to me. We led for 39 minutes and 55 seconds, man, and it was a tough way to lose, but it really propelled us in the spring, summer, fall. And then obviously, listen, you got to be a little bit lucky in a few games. You got to find ways to win some games that maybe when you're not playing very well, we've done that this year. You know, we haven't always played great, but our group, it has a ton of resolve and resiliency. And we're unflappable. We never lose our confidence, man, and our belief. And I think that's that's kind of our superpower, so to speak.
So, Coach, you talked about all the guys returning, and knew you had a veteran squad coming back. And you know, the trick I've heard in college basketball from coaches that I know is you want to get old and stay old the very best you can, and make sure you have those experienced players. But in this new era of college athletics with the transfer portal and NIL, how are you able to keep all of those players at Miami this year?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, because you see guys obviously across the board changing schools almost every year. Yeah. It's free agency, right? And I don't complain about it. It is what it is, right? It's the new landscape, and we all have to adjust. We only brought in one young man out of the transfer portal this offseason. You know, whereas a lot of schools are bringing in 6, 7. We recruit a lot of high school. We do. We have 5 freshmen on our roster, and we play 4 of them. So we're probably the youngest team in our league. And we just do that. We want to get them experience and get them better. But I think Miami is situated in a unique place because of the academic prowess. It's an original public Ivy. It's the campus, if you guys have ever been here. I mean, it is ridiculous, beautiful, incredible vibes, great student body. So I thought when I first came here, we recruited almost all high school, and everybody else was recruiting transfer portal only, get old, stay old. But I felt like we could keep our guys if we gave them a great experience, right? Development matters. I still think that really matters. Winning matters. Right. And just your culture, your happiness matters. You can't put a price tag on that. Now, NIL is part of the deal, and that's obviously very prevalent at our level as well in the mid-major ranks. But I don't want that to be the reason that our guys stay here. You know, I want them to stay for the other reasons. And our guys, man, they all, to a man, they love each other. And that connectivity, I think, really keeps our guys here.
I love it, Coach. Yeah, my family's got some strong ties. My brother played and coached with Coach Martin when he was around with Coach Kelly and working there. And then, ironically enough, I've been to Millett a couple times. My dad's actually got his picture in there on the wall. He was at Miami from 73 to 77. So been through there a lot, and you guys are doing a great job. So he always liked to champion the academic prowess when my mom went to Ohio State to let her know what the finer academic institution was.
I love it. I love it.
Coach, you mentioned your brother, John Gross, somebody that we're familiar with here in Columbus with his time at Ohio State. He's up the head coach at Akron right now. You guys, the two best schools in the MAC. How cool is that for you guys and your family? And how much do you chat up with him in the season about things basketball-wise, questions you may have?
You know, number one, I would not be where I am today without him. There's no doubt about it. He's opened doors for me in my career that I otherwise probably would not have been opened, right? And so I owe a lot to him, and I'm super proud of him, man. He's built a juggernaut up there at Akron. They've made the NCAA tournament 3 out of the last 4 years, and couldn't be more proud of him, to be honest. Just how they do it too. Like, they do things the right way. They got good dudes, man. They got a good culture. I think it's hardest on our mom, you know, like when we play each other, right? Like, my mom is just a mess. I mean, she is a total mess. And it's hard for us too. You know, I mean, it is, you know, like, 'cause I want to see him do well. He wants to see me do well. And there's nothing thicker than blood, but at the same time, we're in that 40 minutes playing each other, right? I mean, he's putting his team in a position to win, and I'm doing the same for our team. And it makes those family reunions a little bit easier when you win. It makes it a little easier to show your face. but it is hard. It's unique, you know, and we lean right into it. You know, we're both extremely blessed and fortunate to be where we are.
Battle of the Bricks tonight at 9 p.m. in a game you could hear on ESPN. The head coach of the 24-0 Miami Redhawks, Travis Steele, is our guest, courtesy of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Coach, when you hear that news, when you tell your team that news that we are going to be featured on ESPN in our rivalry game, the first rivalry game of the season, what's the reaction of the team? What was your reaction to hearing that news?
Our guys are juiced. And it's a great rivalry, just no matter what TV or station we're on, right? Or what's streaming us. Yeah, it's a great rivalry, man. Being here for now, for going into year four for me, it's awesome. It's a lot of fun. And I got a ton of respect for Ohio. You know, Jeff Bowles does a great job and has built a very consistent program there as well. But listen, we want to beat the hell out of them. You know, we do. You know, so it'll be a great game. I think I want to say, you know, the guy Mark Adams, who's calling the game tonight on ESPN, told me, and again, I don't want to give out bad information, but I think this is the first all MAC game on ESPN in over 25 years. So which is awesome, man. So it's great for our league. It's great for Ohio. It's great for Miami as well. A lot of eyes will be on this game, which we're really looking forward to.
So, Coach, one of the tough things, and, you know, it's like this in every sport, but when you play, obviously, a lot of games like you do in basketball, everybody starts skipping ahead. They start looking forward. You're trying to go undefeated. You know, you talk about 1-0, I'm sure, every game. How hard is it to keep these guys present in the moment and understanding, like, hey, you're only as good as your last game? As good as we are, you know, if things don't shift our way, things go the opposite, possibly in, out of the tournament, who knows what could happen, and keeping them focused, you know, every day in practice and on every upcoming game.
Yeah, it's, you're totally right. It's human nature, right? That's what you're battling. Everybody telling you how good you are around Oxford right now, and all your family members, and they all mean really well, right? Like,
yeah.
But just like when you lose a couple games, everybody says that the world's ending and you stink. You got to tune them out, right? And that is very difficult for young men and young ladies to do nowadays, just with social media, with the outreach, right? It's everybody's accessible. And so I love using metaphors and pictures. So I showed our guys a picture of a guy driving, right? And he had a phone in his hand. I asked one of our players, Antoine Wolfolk, I said, hey, what do you see? And he said, I see a guy texting driving. And I said, you're right. I said, is that safe? And he said, no. And I said, man, because if you get distracted, you're going to start hitting potholes. You're going to get in car accidents. You're going to start hitting things, and that's going to be a problem. And you can't look in your rearview mirrors. There's a reason why the rearview mirrors are so small, right? Like, because those games that we've already won are in the past. Nobody cares, right? We have to look in front of us. We have a ton of obstacles. And it starts with, you know, having a great practice or having a great film session or lift or whatever it might be. Our guys have really, really caught on to that. And I will tell you, they understand it and they know we're getting everybody's best shot. Like wherever we play, when we played at Kent State, it was sold out. Marshall sold out. Toledo sold out. I mean, it's Bowling Green. It's been super fun. But we know we're going to get everybody's best shot. So we have to be really, really, really sharp.
Coach, you guys got six guys averaging double figures, and your seventh leading scorer is right there as well with 9.7. How obviously, you've got to have good players to do that, but talk a little bit about your style and how you keep all these mouths fed.
Yeah, number one, like you said, we have great players. But the go-to guy for us is always going to be the open guy. I want open shots. You know, we don't run a lot of set plays. We run more. We play really, really fast, and then we flow, and we give them concepts like structure, but then I want them to use their creativity, right? Ton of space on the floor. Our ball really moves. Players, we cut really, really well. We look very, very, very connected on that offensive end. And the thing that I would take out, like Peter Suter's probably, he was first team all league last year, and he better be that this year again, if player of the year. You can't tell the difference when Peter Suter scores 37 or when he scores 10. He doesn't care. He just cares about winning, and what he's going to do whatever it takes to put our team in the best position to win. And when you have guys like that do that and understand sacrifice, man, that's when you can become an elite offensive team.
You guys are on the precipice of something that's, you know, never been done before by a Mid-American Conference team, and that's an undefeated regular season. It's tonight at 9 o'clock on ESPN, Miami and Ohio, the Battle of the Bricks, with the 24-0 Redhawks looking to make it 25-0. Travis Steele, the coach of that Miami men's basketball team, kind enough to give us some of his time this morning. Coach, congratulations on all of the success. Have a lot of fun tonight, because the sold-out Millett Hall, ESPN, you guys have definitely deserved all that comes with it.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
And he joins us again, courtesy of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. We'll do thing or not a thing next. It's Bishop and Friends on.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is a Daily Show with Coach Jake Diepler, brought to you by Encova Insurance. This weekend, you play Virginia in Nashville. If you would, Jake, how did all of this come together?
You know, as we were putting our non-conference schedule together, we wanted to look for opportunities to play high-quality opponents and an opportunity, you know, after the new year to simulate an NCAA tournament style feel. And I think that's what we were able to accomplish with Virginia in Nashville. It's going to be a big time game, you know, great opportunity for us to get a quad one and, you know, to continue to improve in some areas we have to improve in.
Okay, we'll talk more in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer both on and off the court. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Encova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Now, the officials have been talking for quite some time.
Alrighty, let's see what they have to say.
Upon further review, there is no penalty on the play. However, we have conferred and discovered that Bob, the line judge, has saved a boatload for his kids' college using Ohio's 529 plan. It is tax-free, accepted nationwide. Bob recommends we all go to collegeadvantage.com. First down!
Well, that's not entirely unexpected.
Classic Bob.
This is the Ohio State Sports Network, presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center. The team physicians for Ohio State Athletics.
Jake, as you get ready for this game against Virginia and Nashville, and you've talked about this before, but just kind of what's your overall philosophy and your thoughts on putting together a non-conference schedule?
I want to play a tough schedule because that helps you get ready for Big Ten play. And, you know, you're looking for high-quality opponents because of the impact of the metrics, you know, for postseason play. Want to test yourself early in the season, to give yourself some adversity so your team can practice handling it well. But, you know, also playing on big stages and things, all of that goes into play when you're putting together a non-conference schedule. Money we can generate goes into play when you're putting that stuff together. So taking all of those things into consideration, how does it best help our team be successful as the year goes on and we start Big Ten play is what we're really trying to focus on.
That is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Around here, it's all-wheel drive all year round. And Toyota has more all-wheel drive choices than anyone. Now through March 2nd, get 2.99 APR financing on remaining new 25 Tacomas. Excludes TRD Pro and Trail Hunter. Or lease a well-equipped 25 Tacoma SR5 for $279 a month for 36 months with $39.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS. Tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Enjoy more.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
After putting up with Dom to Barry for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
And then we went out and got a professional, the General Bobby Carpenter, with us. That interview with Coach Steele, you can find it wherever it is you do your podcasting. It's up on YouTube. We'll have it posted at 971BFS here in a second. I could talk with him for hours. Not only was he great and his team is if they weren't the Miami Redhawks and I'm not an OU alum, I'm saying they're a very rootable team.
They are. I mean,
and they still are.
Even
with what's going on tonight, because I'm wearing my Hunter Green right now. I will have it on the rest of the day. I mean, I'm going to shower, so it won't be on all day. But at 9 o'clock ESPN, I'll be rooting for the team in green. Yeah. But I will want, and I've said this as long as there's been a microphone in front of me, the MAC is a two-bid league. And anybody who thinks that this Miami team, regardless of how they fare in the MAC tournament, should be left out of March Madness is insane.
Yeah, they're good enough. They deserve to be there. They're a very talented squad. So I'm hoping that they keep rolling it. And like just an undefeated regular season, regardless of what happens in the tournament,
yep,
is something that's
so impressive,
incredibly special. And I think if they went undefeated in the regular season, I would hope that that would be enough that would warrant them getting in. It should be.
And just the quality of dude that Coach Steele is,
yep.
I always text our guests a half hour, 15 minutes before, tell them, hey, just let you know, we'll be calling, people get busy, just give them reminders. After the interview, he texted, hey, thank you for having us on.
Oh, he gets it.
So,
When he pulled the public Ivy comment out, again, as an OU alum, I've been hearing that for 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
He gets it. He gets it at every level in this.
Oh, yeah. I asked Chuck Martin, though, who is... He's the football coach,
yeah,
and he came on, and he's done a great job there. He's been the head coach at Miami for football for, I think, 10 years now. Mm-hmm. They've been very good.
They've been really good.
And I asked him about recruiting, and do you still pitch some of that? Because, like, A.J. Hawk's older brother, they went to Centerville. He went to Miami, Ohio,
yeah,
and he had an offer from, like, Indiana, some other MAC schools, and he's like, you went to Miami. You know, well, why didn't you go to Indiana? He goes, I wanted to win games. And then I'm like, why Miami? Because the best academic school. Now, Ben Roethlisberger comes in a year later, and he ultimately transfers and goes to Ohio University, mm-hmm, where he can actually play quarterback. But I asked Chuck, I go, do you still pitch, like, the academics, the connections, all of the people that have gone to school here and all these big business jobs they have? He goes, we talk about that, but they want to hear more about our corner that went to Texas Tech and got $800,000 a year. I'm like, I love you, Chuck. Just, he's like, we tell them. I'm like, that's not going to be everybody. Most of you are going to fall into the bucket of, I played college football, and now I have to get a real job.
Yep.
And this can be a job for you.
You score a degree from Miami.
Yeah.
Forever one of the best sound bites when he was talking about Alabama stealing their kicker.
Stole our kicker.
Forever
that was
one
good.
Of the
and
best.
They took our kicker.
No, he lost your kicker. He's like, we didn't lose him. I know exactly where he is.
So again, thanks to Travis Steele for giving us some of his time. A huge day for them because, yeah, and to the point that he made about a Mac on Mac matchup on ESPN, I don't remember it being a thing.
I mean,
on ESPN,
yeah,
not in the regular season
ever. So it sounds right to me. I mean, in fairness of the campaign laws, are you going to have Jeff Bowles on here at some point? I mean, I thought that was equal time for equal folks.
We have had Jeff Bowles on in the past. He's been great. The Ohio Bobcats aren't the story right now, Bob. It's the Miami Redhawks. As
don't
much
tell
as it
him
pains
that,
me to
get,
say.
Until they get the upset tonight.
Well, I'll tell
if
you
they
what.
Win, we'll have him on Monday.
But we'll definitely have Travis Steele on because this Miami team is special. This Miami team's fun. I think this Miami team's good to go for a run in March.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
It's a good job out of you pulling the campaign fairness law.
Oh, yeah.
You're right. We have to give everybody equal time on this station. It's something we always aim to be, if anything, fair. It looks like the case against Luis Ortiz and Emmanuel Clase is going to become cases, as the lawyers for Luis Ortiz say his client was among those duped by co-defendant Emmanuel Clase. In legal filings Monday, Ortiz's representatives asked a federal judge to sever the cases so they could proceed separately, arguing that Ortiz was, quote, a victim of Clase's scheme rather than a knowing and willing participant. Thing or not a thing?
She's a beaut, Clark. She's a beaut. Just like Shohei had no idea his boy was making all those bets.
No.
Oh, hey, Shohei, can you text me over the number that Chase just sent you so I can send another $4 million wire? I mean, I get that he's wealthy and everything. These guys, like, come on, man. Like, if you're prepared to do that, when they dump the LUDs on your phone and they go in there and Law and Order style break down everything, there better not be any text messages incriminating you, which I have. I guarantee you he's probably not thinking that there is, but there are.
Well, so the court documents also said the government has more than 60,000 audio messages, 19,000 PDFs, 8,000 videos, and 8,000 photos from the phones of Clase and an unidentified bettor.
Yeah, those are out there.
Judge, I know that there were 3,000 signs in this room telling me don't touch that red button. And I know there was a case over it that right there said don't touch that red button. But Bobby told me to touch it. It was okay. So, I mean, it's not my fault.
Now, this is a thing because, honestly, I'm not for a lot of punitive damage, punishment sometimes. But with this, you got to go hard at all these guys. Terry Rozier, all these dudes. When you're betting and being a part of it, you've got to lay it down. And then it's basically the idiot-proof test, like at the combine. Do we care that you smoke weed? No, but we care that you care enough not to smoke weed to know that you're, because you're getting tested. We care that you know you shouldn't gamble, and that's why you can't gamble on your sport.
I think it's fair to say the Indians can plan their, or the Guardians can plan their future without these.
Yeah, the audacity of Clase's representation saying, hey, can you work around our schedule because we want our client to train for a return to baseball is insane. So as part of that 60,000 audio message, 19,000 PDF dump that they have, there's the bettor that he, I guess, one game was talking to Clase for like 5 minutes before he went out and pitched is what the government's claiming in this. The bettor is saying he was only talking with Clase about legal rooster fights on Facebook. adding quote at times
talking about that's awesome.
I paid money to people associated with Emmanuel in the Dominican Republic who run his rooster operation, either to cover bets or expenses related to the roosters.
Oh,
this money was only related to rooster fighting and had nothing to do with gambling on baseball, end quote. Thing or not a thing?
Thing, is this better or worse? That's like Michael Vick getting caught, like, hey, that wasn't about me gambling on football. It was about my dog fighting ring in the backyard. I mean, like, what are we talking about?
Clase's in the bullpen texting about cockfights. I mean, come on now.
That's like, that's better. Like, that's better than this. This is unbelievable. By the way, it would be a very tribe thing that maybe Clase wouldn't be the first player they pulled from the California Penal League.
There's truth to that. So just to put a bow on this, because this was reporting done by The Athletic, and it honestly, when you read it, it gets funnier the further you go down on it. But the Clase's attorney is disputing what the government's saying with 250 pitches in which bets have been placed is now what the government's arguing in this. So no, Emmanuel Clase, I would not worry about preparing for Major League Baseball this season. They'll be locked out in 2027, but I wouldn't worry about pitching in Major League Baseball ever. Ever in your life.
Shove a good prison team.
We'll do a couple of things we learned this week coming up next. Bishop and Friends on the Fan.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan.
Bugs are us.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. There's one unbeaten team remaining in college hoops. It's the Miami Redhawks. They're 24-0 and look to make it 25-0 tonight, hosting Ohio University at 9 p.m. You can see that game on ESPN. As for the basketball Buckeyes, OSU will be on Fox tomorrow night as they take on number 15 Virginia in Nashville. Tip-off from Bridgestone Arena is 8 p.m. You can hear it on The Fan with coverage at 7. The 8th-ranked Ohio State women's squad's back at the Shot on Sunday, hosting number 20 Maryland. We'll have that game on The Fan with coverage Sunday at 1:45. It's day 10 of Winter Olympic competition. The U.S. women's hockey team has Italy today at 3:10 in the quarterfinals. Team USA's second in overall medal count with 14, third in gold with 4. Italy and Norway lead with 18 overall medals. The U.S. men's hockey, they got off to a 1-0 start yesterday with a 5-1 win over Latvia. They'll have Denmark tomorrow at 3:10. This update is sponsored by RCDRV Supercenter in Heath, Delaware, and Pataskala, or online at rcdrv.com.
If you love a good pie analogy,
think of the cap as a pie. And once you take out one piece, there's less left for the next guy.
Then this is the radio show for you. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Eric Reeser, Ryan Baker, joined by Bobby Carpenter for the last hour of this Friday edition. Bob, so far through two, it's been good for me. Hope it's been good for you.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. First time sitting over here in quite some time. Usually,
welcome
come
back.
Fit in with Maddie and Roth, and I sit over there on the little third guy. So this has been fun, man.
You've been getting a lot of love on the YouTube chat about your sweatshirt.
Yeah, this is part of my Buckeye Cruise swag. It's one of those new, it's some brand that I should know, CLO or FLO.
It's the one that Joe, because I see the logo. Joe Burrow loves it.
So I got Aloe. Ironically enough, at the Joe Burrow golf outing, they gave us little windbreakers that were this brand. And I had seen it because my daughter and some of her friends had it on. So I'm like, I'm guessing this is pretty cool. Joe Burrow wears it. My kids are wearing it. Old man doesn't know about it. But you know what? This was in there. It felt really good. And normally I'd be working out at this time. So I've got good energy right now and feeling good about that.
I'm glad you made it work out with us.
Bob, that looks like it's a pretty lightweight sweatshirt, almost like a t-shirt.
It's got
hoodie.
A little pop to it. I think it's breathable, Bake. You would like it kind of. It can kind of keep you warm, but it's also not going to make you hot.
I have become big on those recently. Yeah. The t-shirt hoodies or the quarter zip hoodie almost material. Mm-hmm. I like those a lot.
We appreciate everybody interacting with us in the YouTube chat, except for Chris. How dare you? We had Travis Steele on, the head coach of the Miami Redhawks, at 10:30. And then Bob let me know that we need to be a fair station and maybe look. And getting Jeff Bowles on, the head coach of the Ohio Bobcats.
Has a point.
Chris says the last coach from OU we had on got fired. And then it's my fault that Brian Smith was dismissed. No, don't make that connection. Although he's right. The last OU guy we had on.
It's factually accurate.
Was dismissed. Battle of the Bricks tonight at 9:00. College basketball has been legitimately great this season on the court and off the court. It's one of a couple things we learned this week.
We're not trying to do too much around here, but over the course of 5 days, you might have gleaned some stuff. Bishop and Friends present What We've Learned This Week.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Make a reservation today at highbankco.com. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
High Bank's got something out now. It's their Whiskey War blended in Cabernet Sauvignon barrels.
I like that.
I'll tell you what, everything they make is incredible. And they give me $0 to do this. They were kind enough to host us for a whiskey tasting when Bo made some barrel picks. They had one that was blended in a cognac barrel?
Yeah,
and then one
correct.
That was blended in Pedro Jimenez barrel.
Mm.
And those are on my counter right now, but they are slowly losing volume somehow.
What you should do tonight during the game, drink them all.
I'll have a drink for tonight's Battle of the Bricks.
Yeah. Finish one. One and say, hey, I'm going to finish this guy. Set some goals, Reeser, in 2026.
Every three that OU makes tonight, because they're going to need to shoot really well from the perimeter. I'll take a swig from that Whiskey War bottle. But
that Pedro Jimenez Double Oaked, that's one of my favorite bottles that I have. That is
And I don't know if they've got any of those left, but if you can find you some, get you some. For Ohio State. You'd heard the update anchor say that they're headed to Nashville to play.
Can you refer to yourself in the third person?
I've said the update anchor, the well-coiffed update anchor, that moron doing the update. It really depends on how that update goes is how I refer to myself in this. But non-conference Ohio State and Virginia for some reason tomorrow night at 8:00. The Hokies or the Cavaliers, I should say.
You know why?
The money.
Virginia is for lovers.
Oh, on Valentine's Day. How appropriate. Also, High Bank, a great place to, if, I don't know, reservations at this point would be ambitious. But a gift for your Valentine from High Bank would go a long way if you can't get reservations, because yeah, it's Friday. Hope you've made those plans.
I listened to the call in, was it Wednesday, I believe?
Yeah.
Where would you go in Columbus? Well, here's where I would go. Your choices are going to be far more limited, given you have like 6 days, five days.
Should have made those reservations a month ago.
Yeah.
All right, so I've seen this from Scotty in the YouTube chat, actually. I'm going to deviate real quick.
He doesn't know.
If you played any offense for the Gales.
Yeah, I played receiver. Actually, I played quarterback.
I believe that.
I started off as like our JV quarterback. That's how my dad, like when I played, it pulled me up. And I didn't realize this till later. I played JV quarterback and linebacker. And our team wasn't very good. It was my dad's first year. I'll never forget, we played Brandon Joe in Westerville South. It was my dad's first game. I think the score was 63-7. It was a beatdown. They could have probably scored 100. And we go through three more games, lose a couple more. And they moved me to safety. And the coach kind of pitched me on it. I'm like, all right, I haven't played linebacker, man.
Yeah.
But I'm also a 6'2", 160-pound linebacker. JV, that's okay. Varsity.
That works.
Not as much. Because you can put you back JV? Here free safety. And since we're not very good, you're going to make a lot of tackles anyway. And so I got a chance to move back there. So I kind of punted on the quarterback position for a little bit. Because for a while, I would go and play. You could play like six quarters.
Yeah.
And my dad's like, I can't, after like two games, I'm not letting you do that anymore. He's like, those guys are going to keep playing you. And it got to the point where I was playing all of Friday night on defense and all our special teams. And then I would go there and really play most of the game on Saturday morning. Like, wake up the next day. And when you're not very big and you're tackling dudes like Brandon Joe, like, I was beat
you're
up.
Feeling it.
Oh, I was beat
even
up.
Even at that age.
Pretty good. Yeah. Oh, Brandon looked like
Brandon
does now.
Was he at that age. Was in high school.
Brandon's head looked like that helmet.
So there were a couple. There've always been those players, and he was one of them. I remember when, you know, in high school, I was with Mike Adams at Dublin Kaufman. Like, they beat us at UA. And I always remember thinking, like, let's see that birth certificate. Is he really a high schooler? And then they just super developed. And they will hurt. They will hit. I remember I was on the field goal unit. I didn't play much. I was terrible. And I had Mike Adams across from me, and his jersey didn't fit him at Dublin Kaufman. And I'm like, I'm just going to hope for the best here. And he didn't try, because they were just PAT block. And somehow we scored a touchdown. And yeah, that was, I went up against him. I had one good rep against
him.
There
we go.
Because he didn't block the kick.
That's all you need.
Because he didn't try.
Westerville South in the 90s had a run of dudes with Kajana Carter and Andy Katzenmoyer and Chris Kirk and then Brandon Joe. They had some dudes.
Well, they had Trey Lance then right after that. Lance Moore.
Yeah, the receiver.
Who played about a decade in the NFL. Yeah. And so I played a little receiver after that my sophomore year and then moved to play some running back as well. So, yeah, not a lot of 6'3 running backs. But I modeled myself after Eddie George. I'm like, he did it. I can do it. But probably more suited to the other side of the ball.
Yeah, I just saw that a couple of times in the YouTube chat. I thought I'd throw that out. This is a learning segment. We're here to learn. It really should be a learning show, but some segments we do a little bit less learning. Here is what we're learning this week for Ohio State. I think, Bobby, you've got to beat Virginia tomorrow night. I think the goal should be to make the NCAA tournament. That was something we had this week. I understand the consternation from one J.J. Sullinger. I thought it was great of him.
I love how fired up he was.
To go on with Rothman and Ice and really say his piece. Because there's, from a place of love for that program, and from a place of he doesn't, it's easy to kick somebody when they're down. And this Ohio State basketball program, and we'll have a greater discussion on the state of the program coming up here in about 10 minutes, but you always want to see it succeed, and you always want to, because you have so much love for it. So I love it, and I understand it, and I get that there's that passion for it. Because, Bob, my biggest fear is that this apathy continues for Ohio State. That will kill the program, especially in a name, image, and likeness era where you need to ask people to open their pocketbooks.
And that's a big piece of it. And Ohio State's rolling, it's great. Part of the problem is you got this huge arena, which Jake Diebler didn't build.
There are many issues that aren't on the two that you just mentioned.
It's kind of detached from campus a little bit. Like, it's a tough place to get to, and everybody kind of looks. I'm like, listen, man, if you've ever had to walk from east of High Street all the way over there in the winter, first of all, it's dark at 5 o'clock, so you're walking in the pitch black. You take buses. It's just, it's cumbersome for students to get there. And you bring people in, obviously, from the community, and they want to watch, but it's tough to get 15,000 plus there every night, which is really what you need to make that place feel full. 12 ain't cutting it. And so you've got to be winning. And also, now, Jake Diebler, I've said this. When they hired him, the main reason is they tasked him with recruiting Ohio kids well.
Mm-hmm.
And he has done that. And hopefully he will continue. They've got a good class next year, and hopefully it's all taken care of and locked in. But yes, apathy is bad. You get people you know, you start winning some games, you make the tournament. Like, you've got to build this thing slowly. You're not. This isn't like the NFL where you tank it out, get draft picks, and you go from going, you know, 6-11,
right,
and then next year you're, you know, the Patriots 14-3 because you got all these picks and all this cap space, and you go win a go play for a Super Bowl. Like, you've got to build this thing, and I think they're on the right path.
One of the things that I was a big believer in Jake Diebler was seeing him at the state basketball tournament, Bob.
Yeah,
and just seeing how the high school basketball community in this state flocked to him and his brother. They were both there at the same one, and just everybody was around them and talking to them, and Jake knows everybody. I also said this week, maybe the state of the game in Ohio isn't where it needs to be, because at least right now, and I know Darren Peterson was here and he left because of the Adidas thing and whatnot, and Anthony Thompson is going to be your first McDonald's All-American in a long time.
By the way, pause on that. That's why if I have to listen to these people in the state house here locally try to tell me to get rid of NIL for the, oh, it's going to ruin the game. No, what's going to happen is your best players are going to leave, and it's a lot harder to get them back once they go. I can promise you that.
And Alex Smith, who's in this class with Anthony Thompson, was an Upper Arlington kid, is playing in Florida now, prolific prep, because probably NIL things. I mean, also maybe he can develop his game a little more, but he's down there because of that. You have three recent Mr. Ohio basketballs on this roster.
Yeah.
And Devin Royal, Gabe Cups, and Colin White. You're doing your job getting these guys. Now, are they good enough? That's another question. So maybe the basketball in the state of Ohio needs to up its game a little bit, but there's no doubt Jake Diebler can recruit the state of Ohio, and I think even more than the state of Ohio.
We're going to do something ambitious here. We're going to try to fix what's ailing Ohio State basketball coming up next. It's Bishop and Friends on the Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And well, we smell a little, but you've accepted that. The Fan.
Hey there, it's Bo Bishop here.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Denice.
If I gave somebody my number and they called me, I'm out. I don't know you like that. You don't need to be calling my phone. We can text.
Rothman and Ice. Weekdays at noon.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus.
The Fan.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A beautiful way to end the work week with mostly sunny skies and highs getting into the low 40s. We'll go partly cloudy tonight with lows in the 20s, and then for Saturday, expect a mix of sun and clouds, but even warmer as highs soar up right around 50 degrees. Rain chances develop overnight into early Sunday morning, but they are on the minimal side with most of the best chances south of I-70. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Yes, you are. Bobby Carpenter filling in for Bo this morning as Bo makes the trek out to Palm Springs. Thoughts and prayers for the Bishop family as they make that trek. And just in terms of a airline connecting, getting on the plane, getting the plane off on time. So he'll be back Wednesday, hopefully with some stories that are entertaining for you and maybe good for him. Because he always comes back with horror stories from his travels. They're all bad.
Yeah. I've been fairly blessed. We're going to St. Thomas for spring break this year. And I'm trying to figure out, it's a dual destination thing. If my daughter lacrosse works out the way that she wants her, my wife will have to fly from somewhere else. So I've got multiple bookings reserved and different things.
Good Lord. That gives me anxiety, Bob.
Oh, coach, if you saw this, I'm like, well, if I book with Miles, they're all split reservations, one way this and that. It was a logistical nightmare. I put a lot of work and time and effort into it to get that done. And I said, when I was coming back from the military tour, we're out of West Palm, I go, screw the connection. rebook me for Miami. I'm going to rent a car. Once I get on that bad boy, I know I'm getting where I'm going.
Yeah.
Or we're going to crash. Those are the only two options.
Yes.
Either way, say safe travels. No. B-Moy says speedy travels.
Speedy. I like that. That's a better phrase.
Because let me ask you this. If you die on an airplane, at least it's a glorious death. Family's probably getting some cash. You're going to be, they're going to put your name on a moniker. There might be some sort of memorial for you.
That's the only way I'm getting memorialized. Yeah. So, all right, you're selling it to me a little bit.
Being 90 years old in your bed, okay, crapping on yourself.
That's not, I have no desire
for that. Nobody wants
one.
That. Say between that or
they're, all right,
they're flying in a plane thinking, hey.
I'll say a perspective's a hell of a drug, so thank you for providing me with
hopefully
that.
Hopefully it's coming back from vacation instead of going.
You're like, yeah, no, I want to get like my money's back, worth. Yes. And actually have had that vacation memory for however long it lasts with the plane. So,
I just want the last thing we say here about this, that speedy, safe travels to Bo and his family. Yeah. I don't want the last thing to be any what we just talked about.
He'll be back Wednesday.
He'll be back Wednesday with
good vibes and positive stories from their vacation. We'll just speak it into existence now. We ambitiously left last segment saying we're going to fix the ails of Ohio State men's basketball. And the first thing I think, Bob, is they win Saturday against Virginia and make the NCAA tournament. That would fix so many things from what's been ailing them over the last couple of years, because you give opportunities and experiences for guys like Junie, for Devin, that still have some meat left on their bone.
Yeah.
And then you give a guy like Bruce, who's given so much to this program, the opportunity to play in March.
Who knows? Maybe Bruce can sue for another year of eligibility.
Why not? It's fine. Hey, listen, are there any Franklin County judges up on the docket here in November? Let's try to figure it out. It's election year. I don't know what court lane that goes into.
I didn't think
we'd
go judge shopping for Bruce Thornton on a Friday, but here we are doing that.
Throw a couple shekels into your campaign as
You're
well.
You're not going to donate to the NIL funds. At least give us the fifth leading scorer in Ohio State basketball back
for
one more
year.
There's got
to be a Franklin County judge that's a Buckeye booster somewhere.
Here's one of the things with Ohio State basketball, and you know, people have gotten upset last year. You look at the variance of what they were. They brought in like a lot of high-level guys who maybe didn't play, like Bradshaw out of Kentucky. Is that,
I mean, is it Memphis now, I think?
He's at Memphis.
I mean, like, he came here.
He's actually been playing well here recently, too.
Of course.
He's a five-star.
Yeah.
So
just a year early on him, you know? But he didn't work out, really didn't play all that well. Like, people were very frustrated with him. But they had some big wins last year. You look at some of the big wins. But then they also had some bad losses, like really bad ones. Whereas you look at this year, I think USC will probably end up being their first quad one win. They don't have any others. Virginia. That's
the opportunity.
Actually, according to Jacob Reimer, Northwestern is now technically a quad one win.
That's right.
Yes. So you're 1-7 now in quad one wins.
But they also don't have any like quad three or four losses.
Correct.
So I told someone like, last year, you felt like you could beat and lose to anybody. This year, it's like, well, at least we win the games we're supposed to win. It's a little bit James Franklin-ish. Like, we win the games we're supposed to win. Maybe the bigger ones we haven't really executed on. But the thing with the Big Ten, and this is, the Big Ten is going to probably have four of the top eight seeds in the NCAA tournament. This is not a bad conference that you're, like, quote, struggling in. You're playing really good teams. So over the next, what, seven games, if you can pick off one of these, pick off of Virginia, you get another big win or two. Like, I think you'll be situated pretty well.
With what's been, for me, with this past Sunday against Michigan, when you hear Go Blue reverberate around the shop, I go, I think that's the point for me when it felt like apathy was at its highest for this basketball team. And in an era where now you need to go to your donors, you need to go to your boosters, you need to go to your fans and say, we need your money. We need to be able to have a war chest big enough to compete with some of the, I wouldn't say top tier teams in the Big Ten from a basketball standpoint, because you don't have the mortgage guys like you do at Michigan State. You just don't have that kind of spending. But if you can avoid falling into too much apathy with your booster base, then you can year to year build a bigger war chest to go and get the proper portal persons. Now, you still got to evaluate the proper portal people. To your point about Aaron Bradshaw, that still falls on the coaching staff, but the ask of the fan base, I feel, would be so much easier from that perspective if you make it into the tournament and give them some hope. Because once you get in, Bob, who's to say you couldn't make a run?
Oh, yeah.
Get hot at the right time. You've got the shooters. We know this.
Oh, when Mobley's on, he's good.
He is.
When he's off, sometimes it's a little rough.
You know, but, ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
I'm going to say they're not making a run because they're just not good enough. Are they good enough to get in the tournament? Yeah, they could be. But I don't think you're getting a second round Sweet 16 run.
I think you could win I think you could win a game.
You could win a game.
Depending on where they get in.
I don't know if I consider that a run, though.
Yeah.
But this, I think it's tough. And I hate that we talk about fans in this because I'm tired. We do. Fans should have no part in this with having to give money. They're buying tickets. They're buying the
gear. The money's
got
to come from somewhere, though.
You're right.
So people always complain, and I'm like, listen, you want to complain about it was with football. We don't get this guy. First of all, you don't want to overpay for guys that aren't very good. But second of all, like, there is no Matt Ishbia. There is no Dan Gilbert at Ohio State.
And I think that's the difference right there in the two things is Ohio State football doesn't always have to overpay. Ohio State football is big enough to where they're like, hey,
that's a good point.
You can come here and do this. I don't know if Ohio State basketball is, so you may have to overpay, and maybe you did that possibly with an Aaron Bradshaw. No, I don't think that's an excuse. I don't think you should ever overpay because I think that's how you end up in situations that maybe you are here. But I think, and I don't know the numbers, but all the rumors you hear is Ohio State is somewhere between 12th and 14th. And NIL spending on the basketball side of things in the Big Ten. And unfortunately, you're not going to make it. And when people are like, well, tennis is doing good. Well, wrestling's doing good. What schools are giving NIL money to their tennis and their wrestling? So it's more of an even playing field. But basketball is still one where you've got to compete a little bit in the money to get some guys and do some things. And I don't think it's fair. I don't. If you see things in Jake Diebler that you don't like in his coaching, and you don't think he's the guy, that's okay. You can say that. There were some things in that Michigan game that I questioned as far as shoulders dropping on the team and body language and effort, and I think sometimes that can go back to coaching. So I had a couple questions there. I just don't know if it's fair to judge Jake Diebler right now when you're not spending the money that everybody else is in NIL.
And so you want to spend it wisely.
Yes.
But you do have to spend. Talent matters a lot. And I look at Luke Fickell, Wisconsin. People were all over him. I mean, the amount of money that they were spending versus Big Ten teams, it was near the floor. And I'm like, well, and I talked to a lot of coaches who evaluated like their teams. They go, Wisconsin's a good, well-coached team. Yeah. They just don't have any players, and their quarterbacks got hurt every year.
Right. That's my biggest thing with Wisconsin is they can't pull the big fish out of the transfer portal, and you try going three straight seasons without having the guy you thought was going to be your starting quarterback.
It's tough. And so this is the thing with Ohio State basketball. You got to pay the right guys, and you've got to build it. And I think that they're working through that process. And Ohio State basketball should look like how can we be – I don't want to say Indiana football because Ohio State basketball was much better than Indiana football, obviously – but how do you find that window of, hey, get the really good Ohio players, which I feel like they're doing, develop those guys. Like Devin Royal didn't leave. I'll tell you this. If the players didn't like Jake Diebler, they would left. They would have left. Like
The retention on the roster from last year, that was huge.
Bruce Thornton could have got a lot of cash to go a lot of places. Like, let's be real about that.
Absolutely.
He played a lot of basketball at a high level. Devin Royal, very good player, getting better, and was a highly recruited guy. Like, those guys stayed. So I always say, look at the guys that stayed. They didn't choose to go anywhere else, so obviously they believe. I hear the passion of J.J. Solinger. Guys that are close to the program, sometimes they want to defend their coach, but also they'll be the most critical if they think it's going wrong. Like if they don't like the process, then they will be as hyper-vigilant when it comes to criticizing the program. So I think things are going in the right direction. Ohio State basketball has always been kind of unique because it doesn't start till football season kind of ends. And now football season goes for stinking ever.
Yeah.
And so there's a little bit of difference in that. You've got the NIL world, so they've got to find a way to raise some more money, be smart with how you spend it, bring the right transfers in. Like this year, I think, was better than last. How do you keep building on this? Like I'm not a big believer in throwing the baby out with the bathwater if you're going in the right direction. I'm with you, Big. I don't know if they can make a run, but you get in. If you win a game, okay. That's a lot of progress.
And I do believe, as Reese said, if you make it in the tournament, that may not fix any of your ails because the issues are still the issues. Yeah. But the perception maybe from the fan base would be a little different. And there would be a little more positive vibes around the team.
Some more positivity comes our way from USA Today, who projects the Buckeyes to make the NCAA tournament, bypass the first four in Dayton. Right now, per USA Today, Ohio State's a 10 seed. Their latest bracketology would have them facing St. Louis, who would be the 7th seed, in Oklahoma City. The winner of that game then would go on to face, in that region, the 2nd-seeded Kansas and Darren Peterson. I know for St. Louis, that would be a bad matchup because St. Louis is big and long, and Ohio State has issues there.
Yep.
But who's to say, to the earlier point we made, if you get hot and start shooting all over the place, you can't take down St. Louis. And then if you're playing Kansas in the NCAA tournament, that's a boost. That's a positive in the right direction, Darren Peterson or not. We'll get Doug LaMaurice's thoughts on all of this coming up in 2 minutes. It's Bishop and Friends.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Guest Hotline is sponsored by Accurate Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
We'll read your emails on the air,
but we won't tell you where to send them.
Hey, we're not doing all the work for you.
This is Bishop and Friends.
Yes, it is. Bobby Carpenter, Eric Reeser, Ryan Baker rolling with you on a Friday. We go out now to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Same time every Friday, we like to do this with Doug LaMaurice of the Bill and Doug Show on YouTube. Also, check out their Substack, Bill and Doug, on Ohio State Football, BillandDougOSU.substack.com. Doug, I saw that you had gone to the Schottenstein Center for your most recent Substack. The Sweet 16 drought for Ohio State men's basketball is unprecedented, unacceptable, and a little embarrassing. Doug, first off, thank you so much for giving us the time today. What do you think would be the quickest fix for the basketball Buckeyes?
I don't know if there's, I mean, if it's a coaching question, do you change the coach? Is that a quick fix? I guess it certainly could be. Investing more resources in the roster certainly could be. I think the main thing in college sports these days is you can turn it overnight, right? That with how much roster changeover there is, you don't have to build up to anything anymore. So I think part of it is deciding how good you want to be. But the main point of what I wrote is just like, this is, there's always a debate about Ohio State basketball. What's the standard? How good should they be? It's not the same as football. We understand that, but this is the longest Sweet 16 drought in program history. And whatever the standard is better than this.
And so that's the question. It's like trying to determine that, Doug, over your history here and you're looking at this, you've been around these, you know, the athletic department for a while. I mean, you obviously want to make Sweet 16s, but now with the financial commitment that comes with all this, I mean, Ohio State has plentiful resources, but they are finite when it comes to how you're going to allocate them. And the reality is, like, there's not much money in winning in college basketball anymore relative to football. And so if you're trying to support a whole athletic department and you're allocating these resources, yes, you want to have a good forward-facing men's basketball, but is it nearly as important as it once was?
No, probably not. And I think we all see that. We can talk football year-round now. People are interested and care about Ohio State football year-round. And, you know, as you said, Bobby, I've been doing this for 20 years. There used to be, I mean, football was always king, but you could slide into basketball, you know, like they're kind of, okay, if they're good, people will care about basketball. I don't know if we're going to get to the point where major athletic departments, like, you kind of pick, you know, that you have the basketball blue bloods, you have the football blue bloods. There aren't that many that are both. Ohio State for a while was kind of in that rarefied air. You know, we all remember the year when Ohio State and Florida played for the national championship in both football and basketball. That's crazy to think about, but not many athletic departments have been there, right? Ohio State in the last 25 years has been one of the few that has at times competed at the top of the sport of both. Maybe we're done with that. Maybe that world goes away. And obviously then Ohio State chooses football, and basketball is, you try your best, but you're just not comparing yourselves to Arizona and Kansas, because Arizona and Kansas aren't comparing themselves to Ohio State in football. And I don't know if you're making more of a binary choice.
Doug, we've seen the last couple of years Ohio State try to do some things to increase the atmosphere at the Shot. And we heard Ross Bjork this past week talk about how they're looking at things and they need to find a way to get more NIL dollars for the basketball program. Do you get the sense, or how much of a sense do you get, that this is a priority to Ohio State?
I do think maybe like Ross is still kind of getting his hands around this, right? I mean, he hasn't been here that long. You know, we kind of thought when Ross got here, I know we talked and wrote about the idea of like, okay, this guy, it feels like he's going to go all out to make sure that football is getting what it needs, that football can compete with anybody in the country and can be the number one football program in the nation. And so I think they're there, right? We've had, I mean, everyone's talked about, are they going to the wall on NIL? There's kind of been back and forth, but you know, I think people feel like Ohio State is situated to compete with anybody in football. So now what? And I think we're in the now what? We're in the next step phase of this. And you had to get, with so much changing, you had to get football locked down first. And now I think you can address basketball. But I think, and it's one of the things, you can't come out and tell the fan base, well, we're not going to try that hard. Like, if we're the ninth best program in the Big Ten, that's actually what we're trying to do, right? But at the same time, I do think the worst thing you can do to a fan base is have unrealistic expectations, right? So I think we're still all feeling this out. Like, what are they supposed to be? And then the other part of it is, I always say it almost in everything, whether it's sports or entertainment or whatever, good and interesting aren't always the same thing. Sometimes you're good and you're boring. Sometimes you're average, but you play a style of play that's super interesting, or you have a bunch of Ohio kids and you're super compelling. So I don't know if Ohio State and basketball can compete at the top of the Big Ten, but they can be more interesting. Make it fun to go to a game, right? Be competitive. If you're not winning titles, okay, what are you doing? You're giving people a nice night out. And I think that's what they can attack, even if maybe they're not going to be at the same level as Michigan State in basketball.
So with that, then, Doug, as you look, you'll find that nice night out. And this is something that, this isn't Jake's fault. This isn't Ross's fault. They've talked about this. I mean, you've got this arena that holds 18,000 people over there, and it's still not paid for, but you're trying to fill it up. And 12 in there feels empty. 12 in St. John's feels great, but you're not going back there. So, I mean, is there a viable solution? I mean, these guys were kind of handed this, and it's tough to maybe fill up a Tuesday night game, and I don't know how you get the juice in an arena that feels very professional and stale.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're open for suggestions, right, Bobby? Because, I mean, this is what everybody, you know, we did a basketball show on our YouTube channel on Monday, and I said, like, what's the number one thing you would change about Ohio State basketball? And everybody said the arena, right? We all know this. And so, you know, there are places that you sort of, we know they're not going to tear the place down and build a new one and build a college basketball arena, at least not tomorrow. But can you retrofit stuff? Can you do something? I mean, you still have to keep it so that it can host other events. It is a tough spot, but I don't think you can have too many meetings about it because it remains the number one thing. Like, just try everything, right? We see we're at this stage in college sports where a lot of places, you know, Penn State's redoing their football stadium without tearing it down, but they're redoing parts of it. Like, what could you do knowing you're not getting a wrecking ball out, but what can you do? I mean, everything should be on the table because, you know, if you're not going to be one of the top 25 programs in the country, then what? Then what is make your home games the most fun they can be to get people out there? But I don't have a perfect answer. I don't know if you guys do. I don't think they do. But I'd put everything on the table as a possibility.
Doug, I'm sure you've been following some of the eligibility issues that have been hashed out in court this week. There was the Bediako case on Monday, which I don't know if, like you, I found myself in the odd situation of rooting for the NCAA to get a ruling. But then with case yesterday and a case today, I didn't know if I was necessarily rooting for the NCAA or just rooting against the SEC, who seems to be a kind of caught in all of this. Where do you stand on Bediako? And then with Chambliss yesterday, and I guess Aguilar today, and Pavia in maybe a week?
Yeah, I mean, to me, every fifth year, sixth year, seventh year guy who gets an extra year of eligibility is taking away an opportunity from an 18, 19, 20-year-old who's actually of college age and is trying to play sports, right? So, like, that's not the NCAA to me, right? But I do think that there's, like, what's the cost of this? The cost is, this is not really who this is for, right? And, like, you can be empathetic to someone's situation. I'm sorry you got hurt or there was a weird year or whatever. But I hope, right? We're still in the midst of the chaos. And we have all been saying this for like 3-4 years now. Well, there's going to be chaos, but the chaos will lead to a solution, right? That's what I still am hopeful about. But it's like we're still stuck in the chaos. And it's like, man, I thought we might be at the solution stage by now. I hope the solution stage is like everybody gets 5 to play. And that's it, right? Like 5 years of eligibility. It doesn't matter if you're hurt. It doesn't matter if you're ineligible. It doesn't matter. Like whatever happens, if everything's great, you can play 5 full years. But like we have to get out of this business. And the idea, and as I follow too many lawyers, too many sports lawyers on social media, sports lawyers on social media drive me nuts because they are just willing. If they can find a 31-year-old who can sue somebody to get to play a ninth year of college sports, they'll do it. And they just it's all out. Like my client, you know, deserves this right. Who cares if you're destroying the fabric of college sports? Who cares about every other kid out there who's 19 years old and sitting behind a 24-year-old in the seventh year, right? So I hate it. So I hate all of it. I think it's selfish. I'm sorry your career didn't go exactly how you wanted. And most of these guys who are trying to stick around is because they know they can make more money in college than they can in the NFL. Like, you know, Caleb Downs isn't trying to get an extra year of college football because he's good enough to go do what he needs to do in the pros. So I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And yes, I wind up rooting for the NCAA because I think standards and rules and structure are good. I think rules are good. And I think applying rules fairly to everybody is good. So I think this is, I hope we can come to an agreement where there's just a set of things and that's it. There's no waivers. There's no exceptions, right? But in the meantime, I'm rooting for the 18 and 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds who are actually of college age. I'm not rooting for the NCAA. That's how I justify it in my head.
Bill and Doug on Ohio State football. Find it on YouTube. Check out their Substack, billanddougosu.substack.com. Doug LaMaurice, our guest. Doug, thanks so much for the time. As always, enjoy the weekend, bud.
Sorry I came on and shouted so much. Thanks, guys.
That's what we need. You've got to fix these issues. And Doug's one of the smartest people to help us at least kind of wade through these issues. It's like when you have a machete and there's tall grass and the grass keeps getting taller. Doug's our sharpest. So it always helps to have him on as we do every Friday at 11:30. We'll do three things next, Bishop and Friends.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Football Impact Report is brought to you locally by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse. On the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Ohio State Football Impact Report.
Incoming freshman running back Legend Bay from North Forney High School in Texas will join an Ohio State running back room, which includes rising sophomores Bo Jackson and Isaiah West, as well as Florida transfer Jacoby Jackson. Though the room is deep, head coach Ryan Day has high praise for Bay.
You know, I kind of call him maybe the poor man's Tyreek Hill. I mean, he can go. Wow. When you watch him last year play quarterback in Texas, you know, just 5 touchdown games, 6 touchdown games, just running around making guys miss. He's lightning in a bottle. So he can do a bunch of different things for us. So, you know, excited to see him in the spring kind of figure out how he can fit into the offense. Now he's a freshman, but okay, you know, he's got the ability. So that's the great thing about getting these guys in here at mid-year. You know, they get to go through it, and by the time it gets to August, they get in September, they're not freshmen anymore. Now they got to go, and they came here to play. So excited that that one worked out as well.
This report brought to you by Safe Light Auto Glass. This is Tyler Danberg on the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safe Light Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at safelight.com. Safe Light Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Buckeye fans, choose chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. It's got that crisp, refreshing taste that makes those moments when you choose to rise above the noise and choose chill even better. Coors Light is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics, so crack one open and take a sip. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Beer.
For over 37 years, Buckeye Nation has known Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse for serving the best steaks in the city. Our thick-cut, aged steaks are a staple in Columbus, with three locations in Upper Arlington, Dublin, and downtown. And just like the Buckeyes, we strive for excellence and an experience like no other. Hyde Park is proud to introduce the newly added wine room at our downtown Columbus location, where a new elegance in dining surrounds you, creating the ideal setting for any occasion or the perfect night out. Hyde Park is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Around here, it's all-wheel drive all year round. And Toyota has more all-wheel drive choices than anyone, with more on the way, including the all-new RAV4, totally redesigned to be more capable, totally hybrid to fit your lifestyle, with multiple drivetrain options so you can maximize your weekend adventures or your fuel efficiency. And these new RAV4s are coming soon. Contact your Toyota dealer for arrival timing. Toyota, let's go places.
Hey, it's Bo Bishop.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Find us on YouTube. Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like.
But only if you subscribe.
This is Bishop and Friends.
Yes, it is. Reeser Baker, Bobby Carpenter on with us. Thank you so much for trying to fit us in your busy schedule, bud. I know having to do 2 hours with Tito is probably like doing 4 or 5 hours with anybody else. Oh, no. Doing 2 hours with Tito feels like doing 5 hours with anybody else. 5 hours of radio is a lot. I have to.
It's okay. I got three more. I got three more after this.
What are you doing next?
Doing XM, buddy. Noon to three.
Jeez. All right.
So let's get ready to go.
All right.
You know what's amazing? By virtue of like how good the Zoom and technology is, like yeah. It starts at noon. I was like, I'm not staying down here till three. I can get these sweet little Ray-Ban Meta glasses that I got at Joe Burrow's golf outing. And
those are the camera ones?
Yeah. But the Bluetooth speak, like the audio file, like how it picks up your sound. I can drive in my Jeep with these like window open air and you can't, I can hear
really
and they can hear me.
That's amazing.
Have you done like a hit with Rothman Ice with those?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I've
technology, man.
It's amazing. So I'm going to do my first segment on the Zoom through these. And then I'll pop on my Comrex when I get back to the house.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, it's like people don't even know.
The video Bluetooth glasses I got at Joe Burrow's golf outing are what I'm going to use to get on Sirius XM radio is a hell of a thing, Bob.
That's the bow kind of flex we usually get on this show, so that's good.
I would never, they were the best gift because I'd never buy these for myself, but then I got them. It's like, man, I can like have sunglasses on, just listen to music, and then I start talking to people, and they're like, I mean, you can hear me, and they can't
crystal
hear
clear.
They can't hear anything else, which is what's amazing. I'm like, there's nothing even by my mouth. Like, how? I don't know if they just plug into your brain. It's probably giving me cancer, but
well,
it's all good.
There's, you know, frequency waves and all of that. The Daily Fan Poll asks, will you be watching any of this weekend's NBA All-Star festivities? So I pose that to you too, knowing probably what I'm going to get.
They had the Dave Chappelle racial draft and they did that, then maybe yes. That'd be entertaining.
I can't wait to see the dunk contest highlights that go all over social media.
Yeah, you'll be scrolling on Twitter when this happens. I'll be watching the last part of the Celebrity All-Star game because that is the lead into the Battle of the Bricks on ESPN tonight.
Yeah, I guess I'll watch the last 5 minutes of that, probably.
Watch them present a trophy. Watch them roll the credits. The Daily Fan Poll, 50% says no, never watch any of it. 31% says used to, don't anymore. 17% says yes, I always watch some.
Might be in that 31% category for me.
I used to. It was must-see TV when yes. I was younger.
That's the problem, Baker. Used to.
Yeah.
One, two, three
things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, so we talked earlier in the show about fixing what ails Ohio State men's basketball. As I was seeing LeBron James last night become the oldest player in NBA history with a triple-double. He had 28, 12, and 10 as they beat the Dallas Mavericks. LeBron did so wearing gray shoes, and those gray shoes had a Buckeye leaf on them.
He has never played in college. I mean, bring him back.
He's got eligibility, find a judge, and also he's got a bunch of money. So LeBron, help some of your friends out.
Bronny has to come too, though.
Well, is his son redshirting at Arizona, or has he played at all?
Yeah, Bryce. I believe he is redshirting.
Bryce is redshirting.
There you go.
There's a transfer portal. Come on, LeBron. Help us out.
There we go. My first thing is it's Friday night. That's exciting as always, but it is my son's. They have their sectional swim meet tonight at Upper Arlington, and they're hosting it as they always do. And I joke with him. I remember swimming in the old pool, Reese, that you went to school in.
Yep.
They're in the new one now, which is the Taj Mahal, but I was pumped for him to make the sectional team. They can only take four in each event. And a lot of schools, like Lancaster, like, dude, if you could swim the event.
Mm-hmm. If you can make it down and back the pool.
You're good. Like, there, it is tough. And I'm excited for him. Hopefully he does really well. I think he should be able to make districts out of this. And super pumped for him to do that. So that is what we'll be doing starting at 6:30 this evening.
My first thing, I'll piggyback off of yours, Reese. We're looking for NIL money in Ohio State basketball. Hey, LeBron, those shoes you wore last night?
Yeah.
With the scarlet and the silver, that nice block O on the back. Why don't you sell those mass production and all the proceeds go to Ohio State basketball NIL? Help us out, LeBron.
They could sell. I'll just make this my second thing, and we can have a conversation about it here in a minute. You could sell them, but I don't know if you want to mass produce them, because I think having them like a luxury item,
That's fair.
Get them on StockX would pull you a little bit more. But yeah, proceeds going to Ohio State NIL. That. You know, opportunities, or to the athletic department.
There we go. To the folks that need them, the holy shirts and pants, people helping people.
Feels so good.
Yeah, it does. My second thing is, I was here for a week. I'll be going on the Buckeye Cruise. I got one more show on Monday. I was pumped. This is the first time I got to fill in with you guys. I was going to try to do Monday. I just had way too much to happen. So hopefully I'll be able to slide in here and sign with you guys and maybe Rothman Ice a handful of times throughout the rest of the year when people are out. So it was juiced to be back in here in the big studio and getting a chance to see everybody.
Hey, it was good to have you. We were excited when Fish told us that you would be filling in. My second thing, 32 years ago today, one of my most favorite coach altercations happened when John Chaney burst into John Calipari's post-game press conference after a Temple-UMass basketball game, and Chaney was straight looking like he was ready to choke Calipari's eyeballs out of his head, and I don't think Calipari wanted any of that. And then this morning,
the term goons, when I heard him, I'll send the goons on you. I'm like, that is amazing.
That was amazing. Coach Cal wanted no part of that smoke that John Chaney was bringing. And then today we had Finland and Sweden in hockey play a physical. And you guys, man, Ohio State, Michigan, Carolina, Duke, those are rivalries. I don't know if there's any rivalry like Finland and Sweden. Those two countries hate each other when it comes to sports. And it seems like we always try to get that out of sports. We want the nice guy in sports, and we hide it under the guise of safety. No, this is why we love it. We want contention. We want rivalry. We want heated conflict. Keep it in sports.
To your point, it's so much fun to root for the Kachucks. They're incredible. Like I hate when the Jackets play against both of them, but boy, are they fun to have. You'll have Team USA tomorrow at 3:10. Today's the quarterfinals for the USA women's squad, but tonight at 7 on the Big Ten Network, you got number 1 versus number 2 in wrestling. So best of luck to the Buckeyes, who are in Happy Valley taking on Penn State. The job Tom Ryan's done with that program has been incredible. Then at 9 o'clock, let's go Bobcats.
There we go. I'm pumped for the Bobcats tonight. Last thing for me, my buddy John Simon played at Ohio State, big wrestler. His kids are wrestlers. He showed me this video. Parents get real crazy. They get real crazy at wrestling matches, especially.
That's Marcus Freeman.
Yeah, guy walked out on the mat talking a little trash to the one official. Took a nice big right hook. You know what the ref did? Slid underneath it, double leg.
You take the double leg. Come on.
And started pounding him on the ground. The parent got out. They escaped. He went back. They arrested him at his house. Listen, if you ever try to assault a youth ref, and they flip it on you, parents, don't let them. Just let them go. It'll be an example for everybody. Post it on every social media outlet you can find. That will be what happens to you, especially at a wrestling match.
Fair game. Fair game. Don't go anywhere. Rothman and Ice are coming up next. They're going to talk some Bengals at 12:30 with James Rapine.
Everybody, enjoy the weekend. We're back Monday, 9 to noon. Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
Bobby Carpenter demands that you watch Morning Juice on YouTube. If you don't, Tito will move into your house.
Live at 6 a.m. on YouTube and streaming on The Fan app.
It's 20.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.